Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah.
You can't hit me, I'm a girl.
And Andy?
I don't care, I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes me look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It's actually getting pretty nice out. Cold and windy, but at least there's no precipitation.
It's not Saturday yet, that's why.
What?
And it was snowing when I got here.
It was, and it was squalling when we went to get a drink at 10:30.
Squalling?
Yes. There was just snow blowing around, and Eric goes, "What's this going on?" I go, "I like to call it Thursday."
Yeah. Did you hear the new word yesterday? I learned it. Grobble? Happening yesterday.
Almost like little snow pebbles.
It looks like the, like mini snowballs, almost like the Dippin' Dots, and it's snowflakes that somehow pick up moisture on the way down.
As opposed to hail.
It's not hail, which is more ice. This is actual snow.
It's not hail, it's not sleet, and it's not snow. It's called
We had most of those, grobble, I believe.
Graubel,
I think.
On Fox.
I'd never heard it before.
Graubel.
Yeah, I've never heard that
Kevin
before.
Kevin Lemanowitz. He was going through some of that stuff, and it's freezing rain, or it's
no Francisco
sleet.
Rivera.
You know, the difference between sleet and freezing rain, and then he just stopped, and he goes,
Francis Rivera.
I know, this is all just weather nerd stuff. No one's really interested.
What is the difference between sleet and freezing rain?
I forget.
Anyway, everything's back.
But it's beautiful outside.
Everything's back. Oh, the sun's out.
It's 22 degrees.
Well, that's winter.
It's balmy.
I mean, you know.
Spring arrives next month.
Yeah, we've been well below the normal
temperatures.
Did the groundhog see a shadow or whatever?
I
missed out on that.
He did whatever means spring is coming quickly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, didn't, it's gonna be didn't wrong see this his year. Shadow?
I don't think this stuff is going to melt until June.
Probably not.
But it's beautiful out.
All right, web radio at patriots.com.
We're already arguing. It's about the weather.
508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. Super Bowl week continues down in Dallas.
It's getting more beautiful down there, too.
And more Patriots-related news coming out of there. We'll get to that. But the big news last night was Bill Belichick was announced Coach of the Year. Were you surprised that he got 60% of the vote?
No, not really.
No?
How it should have been.
I thought he should have won it. I think he deserves
right.
to have won it.
I think it was a landslide, though.
It was what it is.
Yeah,
30 out of 50.
You think Mike
you
Smith
take out the 20
gotten...
guys who hate him? It was unanimous.
You think Mike Smith should have gotten a vote, for example? Or...
He did not get a single vote.
I don't think so. Or maybe he got one.
I think he was on that list.
He was. He got one.
Raheem Morris was second
with 11.5.
Right. Half.
And 11.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next one was 4.5, I believe.
Yeah. Smith got one,
Todd
but
Haley?
You only vote for one.
I think
one.
It was Haley, yeah.
Yeah.
So no matter how well you think a guy did, if somebody was your coach of the year, you only vote for him.
Yeah, it's
so
not a...
not a first, second, third.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like the other sports that do in the point system. Right. This is just all or nothing.
So one person gave a half to...
Right.
Probably Peter King.
Speaking of Peter King.
Wait a minute. I originally split my vote, but I made a mistake. That would be Peter King.
So congratulations to Bill Belichick. I think what we saw here was what other people saw across the country, that going in, expectations for this team, you know, were young.
No one did more with less.
A lot of
ifs.
Yeah,
exactly.
A lot of ifs. Yeah. And he took all those ifs and won 14 games.
Yeah. Yeah, so
they're going to clean house on
14
the
wins is
week.
Impressive if you have Patriots. 12 Hall of Famers lining up.
If you're stacked, 14-2 is a great
Rob
record.
Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Kyle Arrington, Patrick Chung, and you won 14 games.
And let's get back to the Ian Rappaport quote from the Senior Bowl week where he ran into somebody who mentioned that they didn't feel, and by the way, I saw him talk about this on TV later. He mentioned, and I didn't hear him say this on the radio, that aside from Tom Brady, They didn't know. So not even counting Tom Brady, it's even harder to come up with 12 starters, right. You know, if you eliminate Brady from the mix. So pretty impressive for Belichick to go 14-2. No, like I said, no one did more with less.
Now, you were about to say this could continue. Today they're announcing the comeback of the year?
No, I believe it's both offensive and defensive rookies.
Rookies today.
Yeah.
And so then we'll get nothing.
They won't win that one.
Well, but McCourty could come in second.
G-Force could slip in.
Yeah, but what does second mean in this stuff?
It doesn't mean anything, but
Mike Smith didn't get a single vote.
What did you just argue? What does second place mean?
First loser, yeah. But still, just when you look at how close the voting is, it might be a telling stat. Like, you know, like the Brady was a landslide for Offensive Player of the Year. Belichick was a landslide.
Which, by the way, you haven't
with
mentioned.
Coach of the Year.
This one's going to be a landslide, too, for Sue.
It might be. It might be, but if it's close, I think that's telling.
Be. Not even close.
We'll see.
What's close?
Probably not.
What's close?
No, we'll see. If
no, but what would you consider close?
Less than like single digits.
If McCourty gets like more than 10 votes, I think it's close.
If they voted
Raheem
him,
Morris
the
was
best,
close.
Relatively, yeah. I mean, they voted Sue. The
he's
best defensive
at me like
tackle.
I have a punchline.
No, but
you don't always have a smart-ass remark.
I was listening to the rebroadcast. We do talk over each other a lot.
That's why ratings are down.
We have to stop that. So, anyway, go ahead, Andy.
Oh, we shouldn't all stop at once either.
Paul's giving me the look.
They voted Sue.
I was
all-pro defensive tackle. So he's the best defensive tackle. They're saying, right? And it's the same guys voting.
Right.
I find it hard to believe they're going to say
he's not the best
a better
rookie.
Like, yeah. Well, but if you're one of the best,
he's a better cornerback than he's a defensive tackle. That. But there was other cornerbacks better.
Then how do you explain the fact that Gerard Mayo was a backup in the Pro Bowl and he was an All-Pro middle linebacker?
It's different voters.
Different people voting.
It's completely different.
All-Pro is all the same people. There's 50 people that vote, and they voted him first team, right? All-Pro
yeah.
defensive tackle.
Right.
Yeah, different people voting.
I think it might be unanimous that he's the defensive
The All-Pro and the Rookie of the Year are voted by the same people.
Right. So
yeah, might
I'll be
him.
Stunned if it's close. Stunned.
And that's why, you know, when, you know, they talked about MVP, you know, unanimous. But in a lot of these APs, there are a lot of unanimous winners because you only do get one vote.
Right.
And sometimes there is a clear best.
It's like I said, Michael Vick could be unanimous second place, but that gets you no recognition because Brady's unanimous first place, and that's all they vote for. They don't vote on second.
Right. They
People
don't
thinking the MVP may be unanimous.
Yeah.
15-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
Won't be.
Peter but King it's happened with other positions.
Has it?
In the AP.
For the All-Pro team, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be unanimous or the
MVP.
Oh, I think he's going to have over 40 votes.
Tom Brady
for
was voted the AP unanimous quarterback. Everybody thinks the second person for the MVP voting is a quarterback. So I don't see why it wouldn't be unanimous again.
Right.
If it were a running back or James Harrison, then I think it might be split. But all 50 voters said Brady was the best quarterback for my All-Pro team, and Vic is my second consideration for MVP, so why would you vote for Vic?
I'm not going to branch this off into a Fred Kirsch semantics argument, but you could definitely, if you wanted to be argumentative, like Fred.
Or stupid.
You could make an argument.
What the hell is that?
That was uncalled. That was uncalled.
Argumentative. It's stupid. Not Fred is stupid.
I took it as stupid.
No, no, no. You go back and listen to this show again.
Okay.
You like to go back and listen later and critique, so go back and
Where
listen
do you
to
listen
that.
In your car, or?
No, at my desk.
But you could make an argument that Brady was a better quarterback. I mean, if some guy wanted to say Brady was a better quarterback, but Vic was more valuable. You could make that argument. I wouldn't. I think it's insane. I'm just saying, if you wanted to be really argumentative, I think you could make a distinction there.
And I could.
Maybe Peter can.
And I'm sure Fred could, because he's very big on the MVP, being valued
somehow.
It's
not the best player. It's the most valuable player. So, and to me, there's a difference.
And that's not Brady. Put Brian Hoyer in.
No, but you could make an argument.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. This year, you can't.
I could make an argument that Aaron Rodgers was more valuable.
Why? Matt Flynn came in and almost beat the best team in football.
I don't think that's the case, but you can make an argument to his team, you know, and they did more with him. So
I just don't think you could. I know the whole Matt Castle, everybody throws that in your face. I think if you took Brady off this team this year, they would have been bad. They would have been sub 500 potentially. With that defense, sub 500, and they won 14 games. If that's not value, I don't know what value is.
That's probably why he's going to be unanimous.
Right, but not because he was the unanimous quarterback for the All-Pro team.
But, see, I don't put this huge differentiation, especially at quarterback.
I'm with you.
Because to me, quarterback is the most important position. So if he's far and away the best quarterback, in all likelihood, he's far and away the most valuable player in the league.
And that's usually the way it goes.
But I think you can make an argument there were a lot of quarterbacks that had better years than Michael Vick, but he's probably the second best in MVP voting.
He had a pretty good year.
He had a pretty good year. I think other guys had great years.
I think when you add in his running ability, he had a great year. I mean, his rating was right behind Brady's for a while there. I don't know what it finished as, but he was at like 107. And for Michael Vick, I mean, for any quarterback, that's great. But for Michael Vick, who's a runner,
and he didn't
whatever,
throw an interception for
right. I
a
mean,
while.
He had a great year, too.
He did.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers was on record pace for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, incredible. Where would they be without him?
Out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah.
Which
really,
is where they were
place,
anyway.
Same place they
so
are.
So that, see, that I don't destroys care. The value.
Yeah, right. I hate right. the where would they be without argument because you don't know.
Right.
For 90% of them, you don't know because they're not without them.
It's a tough award.
And that MVP. Argument hurts Vic, by the way.
Right,
because if you're going to go with the where would they be.
Cobb was pretty good.
Cobb was pretty good. There'd be a bigger drop-off to Hoyer than there would to Cobb. There has to be.
Right.
He's played in the league.
Another reason why I don't like that argument, because you can't blame Vic for having a good backup.
No, I know.
And credit Brady for having
but
an untested
But if you emphasize
one.
Value like Fred wants to in the whole it's not good, it's value, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's part of the argument.
Sure it is.
That's what makes it a good argument. They got a backup.
Right, exactly.
They got two guys are driving down the road. One has a spare tire, one doesn't. Who's in more trouble if they get a flat tire?
Right.
The guy without a spare.
Right.
That makes it a good argument, though. Because you have. I mean, that
this, I think it makes it a stupid argument.
This makes it a good argument, though, because you have people who can argue both sides.
Just to recap,
yeah,
we're having an argument.
Fred and Paul.
We're having an argument of whether or not it's a good argument.
See what we do. No, but I think we're not the only ones arguing about this.
No.
This is an age-old
argument.
We
haven't even talked about comeback
players. Andy thinks it's stupid. Yeah. Eric thinks it's good.
When it comes to MVP, people have always argued.
And Welker's probably going to win comeback player, right?
Since we had – what's that?
You think Welker's going to win comeback player?
I'm not sure about that.
Vic might win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
I mean, I've heard less and less buzz for Welker on that.
Really?
In that one.
More and more for anyone in particular?
Well, this DJ Williams guy?
No.
No?
EJ Henderson?
EJ Henderson.
The Vikings linebacker? Broke his leg?
Is that who it was?
Yeah. The guy who broke his leg.
Yeah. His is very similar to Welker's. He had a major injury. Didn't really miss
that much
time.
And it was at the end of the year, yeah.
Because it was late November, early December, and came back and had a good year this year. So there are some similarities.
He made the Pro Bowl, right? Henderson, I believe?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I was going to say, you could make the argument Welker made the Pro Bowl, but I think Henderson did,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's a,
and
you
Welker
know,
was
unless there's
the
somebody
Pro Bowl,
I don't
too.
Know, it's between Welker, Vic,
and DJ Williams.
And E.J. Henderson. That's the three names that I've heard.
AJ
Have you heard any others?
No.
For that award?
No. One of those will probably win it.
I haven't.
I think it's going to be Vic. But
those are the only three I've heard.
I don't like it if Vic wins it. I don't care for it.
I don't really understand what he came back from last year.
Yeah, I mean,
but I am not going to. I promise.
The way they're treating Roethlisberger, he could have won it.
I promise, I'm not going to drag the entire show down into a what is the comeback player of the year award
Morash.
Discussion because we've done that before.
What about Logan Mankins?
I don't get it.
He missed the first 7 years.
Yeah,
he came back early.
Self-imposed comeback. So I guess it's between Welker and Vic, and we'll see.
Welker should win it.
I think they might give it to Vic. Sort of as a consolation prize for MVP.
Now we're going to get into that type of thing?
That's what I heard.
You heard it was going to be a consolation prize?
Yeah. Some people might vote for Vic because, you know.
This is the worst voting ever if that's the type of stuff that goes into it. You're not anywhere near a microphone, Eric. He's just walking around the room
talking. That's all right. I was walking past microphones. picked up.
But didn't Vic already win another comeback award, the Pro Football Weekly one or something like that, or Sporting News?
I believe he did. One of those emails.
I think won the Sporting News Comeback Player of the Award because he tweeted it out.
Vic
did? Yeah.
You follow him?
Well, somebody else retweeted, like Jason
Lockenfor. I don't follow him. Other people do.
No, I follow other people that do. And
NFL
so,
players retweets a lot of their individual stuff.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I just got a Roy Williams from Larry Fitzgerald. I follow Larry Fitzgerald just in case.
So did you? No, never mind. I promised.
If Larry Fitzgerald ever stopped, Andy's face would be right up his ass.
What does that mean?
You follow him too close.
Wow. I don't understand him most of the time.
You know that whole bumper sticker if you
yes.
read this, you're too. Right. Actually, I should say that about Jimmy Sanders.
Probably.
You could say that about Mendenhall, James Sanders.
Does Mendenhall tweet?
James Starks.
I don't know.
I don't follow either of them.
Gronk.
The Gronk Nation.
He tweets. He just tweeted he bowled a 169, beat his brother who bowled a 69. Did they both really bowl 69s? Or are they just being immature as always?
They probably like give each other noogies on the way back and forth from the, you know. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The other news we need to talk about, and we do need to talk about it, is Peter King, once again.
Screwed something up.
The same story that they did on him, Sports Illustrated did a big story on Roger Goodell. Goodell mentioned, and people say, well, why is he bringing this up again? I think it's natural that in a story about Roger Goodell's career, this whole Spygate and the penalty that he gave the Patriots is part of that, because that was – that was a defining moment of his early tenure as
It was only a year into his
The other reason, though, it brought up, which makes total sense to me, is we have to remember that during the whole Spygate thing, Peter King was beating the drum pretty loudly about this. He was one of these people that have to do something, blah, blah, blah. And I think, maybe the outcome of this disappointed Peter King a little bit. So I can see him bringing this up with Goodell. So for those two reasons, I think it's perfectly natural that it was part of this thing. What I thought, again, for the same reason I think I was a little surprised that Goodell mentioned the stuff about Roethlisberger, I'm surprised that he kind of brought up the whole stuff that no one knew about, that he had asked for a public apology and that, you know, it wasn't given in the way that he expected it to be given. I think owners, coaches, and players are going to lose trust in the commissioner if he keeps mentioning this stuff that people thought was behind closed doors.
Yeah. It was confidential.
It's poor decisions, because you're right. It had to have been offered up. It's not like Peter King said, were you upset with the way Belichick handled...
Right,
like,
he wouldn't know that unless, you know...
Because I thought the natural thing to bring up, if you're going to bring up Spygate, the thing he was criticized at the time for was the tapes and that they were destroyed.
Right.
And this. That's a topic that people question, and if you got a chance to really sit down with the commissioner,
now,
you might ask about
I didn't,
that.
Now, I know
that was not in there.
Well, that's ridiculous.
The thing that was in there was three paragraphs. It was just,
right.
He's still mad because he didn't get what he wanted, a quote from Goodell, and then a quote from Bill responding to it. And that's it. There was not really that much more about
so
Spygate.
So that lends credence to your theory.
Right, yeah,
that it was, you know,
Peter King
was beating the drum, and he wanted to sort of validate his.
But to me, burning the tape was one of the
of course
things that he could have done in that whole.
And
thing.
Wouldn't that be if you had the chance? That's what you'd
right.
ask about.
Why did you burn the tapes?
Right. But that's right. not in there at all.
Right.
It's just he's still mad at him because he didn't. It didn't unfold the way he thought it was going to unfold.
Right.
Yeah. It was an interesting. Did you read the whole story? It was
no. I haven't. I have to admit, I haven't read the whole.
It's
thing.
Relatively interesting. There are a bunch of different little tidbit stories on various guys: Tank Johnson, Mike Vick, Dick Ebersol, the NBC guy. It goes all over the place. You know, it's throughout his entire life. It's his nickname growing up, which I don't think I can say on the air, actually.
Although yeah,
it is in our.
They
open.
Made fun of him.
Artard.
Yeah, that was basically.
I'm not an artard.
So I will get around to reading it. It's fairly lengthy, but
I agree with your whole point about, first of all, I didn't even think of the Peter King thing. I think that's an interesting angle and probably, quite logical, but I agree with your point about Goodell. If you got you and Andy, if they keep doing this, if he keeps telling everybody these private details of conversations, it's going to backfire on him. I appreciate what he's doing. I like what he's trying to do. We've talked about this a million times. I don't think that's the way to do it. This transparency thing,
yeah.
There are times where transparency is not a good thing.
Right.
You know, I think it's fine for him to say to King, Look, I talked to several players. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations because they were confidential. But suffice it to say that I went through great lengths to, you know, look into Ben Roethlisberger. That's all he needs to say.
He's the anti-Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, no matter what, says those conversations are between myself and whoever, whether it's a player, an owner, another coach, whatever. Even at times when he could just say, I told him good luck and go beat the Steelers. Yeah. You know, he doesn't tell you anything.
He doesn't want to paint himself in a
corner. Whereas
ever.
Goodell goes the other way.
Right.
He tells you everything down to every detail of what he said to that person, even though some of it clearly should remain confidential between him and that person.
Yeah.
But Paul's right. The transparency is a badge of honor with him. It's in that story. It says he freely gives out his cell phone number to anyone, fans, people, just random people on the street.
He must have another cell phone number too.
Probably. That's just what he wants to be, that guy.
And I admire that, but there is a line where when you have these conversations, they remain confidential.
Right. I think Paul and I and Andy were talking about this earlier. We like his strategy, as Paul was saying, for the league overall. His tactics, a lot of them have been questionable.
Difference between strategy and tactics. Very good, Eric. Been listening to Fox, I can see.
Why is he taking shots at
me? They talk a lot about that when it comes to Afghanistan and Iraq.
I know we're talking about sort of a different element of this, but was it really that important to Goodell to get a verbal apology?
Well,
I don't think he even just wanted a verbal apology. He wanted Belichick to open up to the media and take questions and answers. And I think that's the worst thing that could have happened.
Well, it's interesting.
You don't want your coach talking for 45 minutes because, it could make things much worse.
Didn't Goodell say he wanted Belichick to tell his side of it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
Yeah, I don't agree with Goodell on that. To me,
you've said Bill did wrong. You've penalized it. Why would you want the guy that now you've just penalized to give his side of it?
I mean, from a media perspective,
what's the upside of that?
So that he could appear to be fair? We punished him, but we're giving him the chance to.
Well, he has a chance regardless. He can do that anytime he wants.
From our side of it,
it has to be a mandate from the commission.
I would have loved to listen to Bill and give his thoughts pretty much on anything. You fill in the blank.
Right.
You give us the topic. I would love to hear Bill's real thoughts. But from Goodell's perspective, I'm with Andy 1,000%.
What if Bill goes out there and says, every coach that's ever coached in this league did everything that I just did.
Nothing good.
His commissioner has his head so far up as Katukis. What if that's the press conference that unfolds before Goodell's eyes?
Yeah.
How about we just... It's over.
I mean,
you ended it. You're the commissioner.
I know Belichick's side of this.
Right.
That he felt he found a loophole and he was taking advantage of it. As a commissioner, do I really want him going out and saying that?
Right. That's my point.
And as Belichick, he looks like a crybaby by doing that. So it doesn't help anyone for him to do
that.
And that's probably what Bill feels.
You're the commissioner. You're the boss of all bosses.
Right.
You ended it. I'm not going to extend it. It's ended.
Right.
I've got my punishment. We move on.
Right.
The only thing I can see is that it gives the appearance that you're not trying to hide anything. When you give answers like that that are vague and generic, you give the appearance that you're hiding something. Whereas if you go up and you entertain questions.
Like burning tapes. Couldn't even get it out quick enough.
But I think both sides are. I think Bill is hiding something. I don't think Bill wants to go into all the minutia, gray area of coaching that he has witnessed for 35 years in the National Football League. And I don't think the commissioner should want Bill going into that. You know, there are certain things that take place that fans don't need to know about, or maybe they kind of know about, but it's just a joke, ha-ha, nudge-nudge, elbow-elbow. I don't think you want this true transparency and everything coming out in the open.
Clive Rush at the team hotel on the road one time told them to take the potted plants off the tables because he thought the other team had them bugged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is back then, you know?
I mean, enough stuff has come out accusing the Patriots of things over the years. Right up to this year where there was that whole Manning and Tom Moore, if they had a conversation, they would have it in the tunnel because they didn't trust the locker room. You don't think Belichick in 35 years has some of those that if you want him to start opening up, well, in 1982 we this, in 1980, I don't think you want that happening.
Al Davis,
just move on.
Al Davis bought the houses that surrounded his practice field because he figured people would be in there spying on him.
So
this is back in the 70s.
I agree with Bill in very much on this, that you ended it. You're the boss. You're the man who ended it. You burnt the tapes. You issued the punishment. Let's just move on. I'll issue my statement. That's it.
That's it.
Because if you want me to start talking, I don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
And I don't think you want it going there.
Yeah. I'm just not real big on, all right, you need to explain yourself. You need to apologize. You need to do whatever. but you have to do it the way I want you to do it. I don't really get that. If it's Belichick released a statement through the media, through the team,
right,
that took culpability for what happened, right? He took responsibility, put it on himself. The Patriots paid a steep price, lost draft pick, a lot of money. Isn't that it?
What else
do you want? I mean, why does he have? Why was it the fact that it was on a press release written not enough for Goodell?
Right.
I don't get. That's what I don't get. I mean, is it a huge deal? No, he wasn't killing Belichick. He didn't kill Bill in this thing.
Well, but he said.
But he clearly feels deceived.
He felt deceived.
Right.
Yeah. Because
that's harsh.
Words.
That's harsh. That's a harsh word to assign to somebody.
But I'm sure that he was under the impression at the time that Bill was going to do it verbally. My question is, why did it matter to you that it was verbal?
Yeah.
Much like, you know, the whole thing with the reported Mankins thing. Why it was so important that it was verbal? I don't get that.
Right.
I don't understand. And maybe that's what it is with big business. Maybe that's why I'm, you know, doomed to my lot in life. I don't get the big business world. Why is that so important to people that you can't just write it and have it right there in writing?
As long as it's on record.
Yeah, I could understand if a guy just, you know, I don't want to do business with a guy who won't admit that he was wrong either. If he was in fact wrong. But I don't understand why it has to be in the manner in which you want it to be and not just written. I don't get that. I disagree with Goodell on that. Don't get it.
Very poor to you.
That's just poor to me.
No, I hear what you're saying about the burning the tapes thing, but I just think the appearance of, you know, if people have questions that they want asked, that's what the media's for, supposedly. And if the media still had questions outside of what he addressed in his statement, he should be fielding those questions.
And don't I remember at the end of 07, Belichick actually did have a sit down with somebody where they talked specifically about this?
He sat down, I believe, with the Boston Globe. Isn't that the story where, like, his greatest regret in all of football was Robbie Gould letting him go? Wasn't that the story?
I just remember it was a nice setting where he was sitting down. It might have been actually filmed in our studio here at KSP. But I'm not sure who the interviewer was.
I definitely
think it was Mike Lombardi.
Either Lombardi or Chris Collingsworth. Or it might have been Al Michaels. It was somebody national, I thought.
I must not have seen it then.
I have no recollection of any Spygate talk that he had after week two of that year.
Geez.
I'm not sure the words ever come out of his mouth.
Well, yeah. I thought I remember him sitting down with someone.
I'm dead serious. I don't think he's ever referenced it since week two.
Well, he could be referencing it without saying Spygate.
No, yeah. I'm saying I don't think he's ever referenced it since week two of 07.
Yeah.
I kind of remember a Globe thing, but.
Anyway, okay, so that's on the table. Awards are on the table. Obviously, if you want to talk about the Super Bowl that's coming up, Pittsburgh.
We're going to make our picks.
We got to hurry.
Got to
hurry. So we'll do that. What else is on the table?
Before we go to lunch.
Yeah.
Diet Coke.
Pepsi.
Not for long.
No. That Pepsi bottle is doomed right there. They brought Pepsi today. That won't be here by the end of the show. Although he seemed a little annoyed. It may be warm. Is that the issue, Paul?
Really?
I saw a face he made when he touched it.
What? Kevin's laughing. That's what she said.
No, this one's cold. The other one was warm, and I opened the other one. I didn't realize.
It'll be cold at some point.
I took one out.
Is that Pepsi Zero?
John writes and he says, oh my God, did Goodell give his cell phone number to Favre? I hope not.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Old, no hair, fine. But Paul's getting sick of these fat jokes.
I'm not fat. I have a different life choice.
Patriots.com Radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No, no, no. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her. But online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right.
Yes.
Talking about that and other junk.
That was enough. That was a great Andy Paul tag team.
Yes. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. John, who also emailed in before the break, emails in again. It says, Goodell had to breach the confidence of the players to try to put himself in a better light. Remember, he came from a PR background. The story was basically his way of getting his message out. Peter King didn't call him out on any of the points you are making. Someone should tell Peter King to at least wipe his mouth.
Oh,
wow.
But that kind of flies in the face of he has to, you know, Goodell worries about how he looks and has to get his viewpoint out there. Flies in the face of his whole father, the story about his father who switched sides in the Vietnam War. It ended his career, but he went down swinging with his morals intact. He did what he thought was right, and because of it was, you know, it ended his career and ruined his life, practically. There were assassination threats and everything. Shouldn't Goodell look at it that way? I'm going to do what I think is right, and in the end, I will be proven right. I don't need to tell everybody along the way why I was right at the time, right?
Yeah.
That should be what he took from his father.
Yeah.
Or so, maybe he's worried that he'll screw up and he'll end up like his father with his career ruined.
Unless he went into these conversations and said, everything you say will be held against you,
well,
which I doubt.
Yeah, because then players wouldn't speak up honestly.
Right.
Just a quick side note. Jay Glazer was on WEEI this morning, Dennis and Callahan, and he was asked a little bit about this, and he said, Roger Goodell is a very open man. He tells you a lot of stuff. You need to know what to print. So he kind of put some of the onus on Peter King. Now, Paul accurately points out, Jay Glazer and Peter King are kind of competitors, so he's taking a shot at his competitor. But
well,
I thought it was very interesting that he said, you need to know what you can print or what you want to print.
Yeah, but
I think he's right about that, though. That should be the case with any anybody. I think that's a big problem with us in general, and by us I mean the media. I think you can't just sit there and scribble everything down in a notebook and take it all as gospel. There has to be a feel for what you think when you're being taken advantage of, and I think that too many times people don't care about being taken advantage of. They just want to have to be able to go out there
but
and
also
say,
the
I got
other
this.
Way. You also have to protect your source on some level, because sometimes your source, if you want to have that source in the future, you need to know this isn't
that's
really
another,
all that
that's
important
another element
to my story.
Well,
and I want to
so you're,
protect
you're talking,
him.
You think Glazier was
I
saying
think Glazier
it more
saying,
to protect Goodell.
I have a notebook full of right. things that Roger Goodell has said that I don't think would paint well, him in a good light, and I haven't printed them yet.
I think the onus is, whenever you're yeah. talking, whenever you're talking to the press, the onus is on the person doing the talking to
sure.
know everything right. here is going to be
potentially
written,
on record.
Unless
sure. right.
I make it explicitly clear that this is off the record.
And even then.
And then it's shame on the journalist for, you know.
Right. Even if you say something is off the record. If
there's always a risk.
There's always a risk that somebody will overhear the
sure.
tape being played and not hear the part that it was off the record. Or what, you
yeah.
just never know.
It gets into the notes and then
right.
part of the transcription and
right.
it's too late. You know, so, yeah, you have to be careful. The onus is on the person being interviewed to have their wits about them. I don't blame Peter King for anything he wrote, but I blame Goodell for.
Well, on face value, Peter King, there's culpability there. If he just assumed something that there was some question.
Well, assuming it was all on
Steelers,
the record, I don't blame him
well,
for
Well, he did
here.
Assume the Steelers because wasn't assumed, the Steelers
right.
in brackets,
put
right?
in parentheses, Steelers. So that's
true.
His fault.
Yeah.
If you take this all on the up and up, he's at fault.
And that's what
he
apologized for.
He shouldn't assume.
For.
Right. Now, there's some belief by Paul and others that he's taking the hit for the commissioner trying to clean up a little bit of a mess here.
Right.
But
that's what
if
I
that's
believe.
Not true.
You do? Look at that, Freddie.
Look,
you
if,
and I.
If
this,
I,
this will end in an argument. They
yeah.
agree on this.
Right.
But it
no,
will end
if
in an
I
argument.
Was sitting in Peter King's
ahead,
chair, and,
I'm not
Goodell was talking,
seat.
If I was sitting in Peter King's chair and Goodell was talking about the Roethlisberger investigation and the fact that he talked to many players, I would assume he's talking about Steelers.
I think it was a logical assumption that Peter King made.
That's the, you know.
Based
why
on,
would,
based
why
on the way that that's been that part of it has been written a lot.
But instead of assuming, why wouldn't you just clarify and say, just so I'm sure, you're talking about Steelers?
I don't think you didn't even need it. I mean, I think it was obvious.
You know, and then he goes back and he hears the recording, and
no, but
you know, it wasn't said, but
it was
like
dozens,
time,
right?
You're just,
I'm talking all about Pittsburgh.
No, I know,
and,
but
and
if
he said
I talked to
dozens
of players.
I don't know why you would.
I would follow up on that because I would say first of all. There's only 53 players on a team. Did you
talk to the
dozens?
Whole team, basically?
Did you talk to them in a group setting?
Did you talk to half of them?
And then that might actually... No, I didn't mean just Steelers. I've talked to dozens of players.
I think it's worth a clarification.
I think that's a little strange.
Well,
that's a lot of players on one team.
I just think in retrospect, it's easy to say it deserved a clarification. I think if you're talking...
No, but we do it all the time, Paul.
I don't. Maybe I'm sloppy, but I wouldn't.
If
I understand what the guy's talking about and I don't have any questions in my mind, I wouldn't ask for a clarification.
No, but there obviously is a question.
Yeah.
Or there
was,
because otherwise
you wouldn't
put Steelers.
I don't think
if it was that obvious, you wouldn't put Steelers there.
Right.
That's a clarification, which means he thought it needed clarifying.
Right. And if you think it needs clarifying,
that's a good argument.
And you're not sure.
If it was that obvious, it wouldn't say Steelers.
That's a good argument.
I've talked to dozens of players.
That's
right?
That's a very good argument.
And if you're on the fence,
added by
I don't have much doubt that
find
that
out
Peter King is taking the bullet for Goodell. I don't
it's
really have much
Peter
doubt.
King.
I don't have much doubt about that. I read enough quotes from Pittsburgh players all off season and all different stories and different publications to know that there weren't three Steelers that would that were friendly.
He's not
going to
get into an argument with Goodell. It's like, come on, you meant Steelers. So he, like Paul
right.
said,
he's
he takes
doing the right
bullet
thing
because for the next time, he doesn't want to close that window of
right.
ever being able to interview the guy again.
Right.
So he takes Goodell's word for it. Okay, you didn't mean Steelers. All right. You know, in his mind, he's saying, yeah, right.
I think Goodell is doing a Greg Brady exact words thing. I didn't say Steelers.
Right.
Well, I know that's what you meant, but if you say that it's not what you meant, I'll do it.
So. I don't know. It's
dirty,
just,
dirty.
It's just not right.
Well, it is. It's accessible.
It's just, I don't
luckily,
think it...
just you know, I always whenever we talk about stuff like this, I always think about how much more important first and foremost, and how much more widespread it is with real life. This is sports,
right?
This is sports, and we're having these philosophical conversations. Can you imagine what it's like covering the White House and worrying about a war? I mean, how many times that something like that happens? You talk about off the record, Eric,
oh
and what you assume is off the record. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You literally can put the country at peril. Yes. I don't mean to sound overly dramatic,
no, but
you literally
it's true.
Could put something out there that could really put everybody in jeopardy,
especially in,
off the record.
Especially in political cases, because a lot of times what's presented in public is not the same message that's being presented by the leaders themselves face-to-face behind the scenes. So they say, look, here's what I really think. When I go out and meet the press, here's what I'm going to say so that the other side knows.
And I'm sure that happens daily.
Oh, yeah.
And if somebody violates that,
people involved.
Oh, exactly.
And, because it's different countries, it's different branches of government, different military branches, then different rankings. I mean, there's so many more people.
When that happens with us, you know, we go down the hall and we cover Belichick's press conference, and then a lot of times come right here. And we laugh about it. Well, this is what Bill said. This is what he meant. And we have a joke, and we have a two-hour radio show about it. But it's harmless fun. It's not anything that's going to put, you know, anybody's lives potentially in jeopardy.
Sometimes, ours. Sometimes it feels like it,
livelihood,
though, for us.
Not life.
You should. Well.
I'm sure.
You know, so,
I don't think he's capable
of
murder.
So I think breaks lately.
I don't think he's capable of murder.
I think overall it was a bad week for the commissioner. I like Goodell. I think he's a good commissioner. I think his heart's in the right place. His intentions are good. I think he does have the best interests of the league in mind.
Yep.
But it was a bad week for him.
I agree.
You know, he's not going to be perfect.
Because the one thing you didn't mention is what gets him in trouble, his mouth.
Yeah.
His heart, his head, all that's in the right place. It's the mouth that gets him in trouble.
Yeah. You know, he's not going to be perfect.
Just like me.
Just like it's PFW in progress.
You know, he will do things.
Of course, Andy has to make it all about himself.
He will do things that Tagliabue never would have done because Tagliabue wasn't as bold. He'll also make mistakes that Tagliabue would never have made because Tagliabue was a lawyer and he was very much more careful with what he said.
Yeah, he has some quote in there, change because you should, not because you're forced to or something is kind of his motto that he lives by with a lot of these major decisions in the direction of the league. And you're right. I think Tagliabue's was, I'll change if I have to at some point.
Yeah.
Who's a lot like me.
It's funny that you said it was a bad week for him. Listening this morning to the same show that Jay Glazer was on, when they were talking about this with Dennis and Callahan, they both said, Jerry specifically, about the same kind of stuff. He was somewhat critical, as we have been, of some of the things that Goodell did. And then he said, but it's so good to see this is a great commissioner for the league. The league is in good hands. This is a strong... I'm like, well, why do you think he did all these mistakes, and then yet you, at the same time, you're just basically saying the NFL is great. See, I think the NFL is idiot-proof, and I don't think that Goodell's an idiot. I think, like you said, Fred, I like Goodell. I think, for the most part, I like what he's doing, but I think that it's been proven over the years that the NFL is just too strong. It's going to get through these bumps in the road because the product is just too good.
But he's trying. Right?
Which way?
Right, trying to destroy.
No, I think he's trying to do the right thing.
Oh yeah, I like Goodell. Yeah,
I'm not sure Tagliabue was. I think Tagliabue was using your mentality. I'm not getting in the way.
Yeah,
these players can be punks, but you know what? We're successful with them being punks or whatever the issue.
I never
would be
had
at hand.
Any real affinity to Tagliabue, but he lost me forever the way he went out, force feeding that CBA in for his quote unquote legacy, which was a bunch of garbage. It was. You know, haphazardly handled in a poor way. Just poor to me.
Tell you my Tagliabue story?
No, but I'm sure you're going to.
Yes. I had to actually serve as a driver once and pick him up at the airport. Now, Robert Kraft was in the car at the same time, but I'm driving.
What kind of car?
I forget.
You didn't get the Bentley?
Town car?
It seemed like an Explorer-type car, SUV-type. And I can't remember, but anyway, this is early 2000s,
I think. Wait a minute. I would have pooped my pants if I had to do that.
So I'm sitting in there, and Tagliabue's in the back, and Robert Kraft sitting next to me in the passenger seat. And he goes, well, Fred, do you have any questions for the commissioner? So I just launch in about the web and all the – making a mistake doing that. And he's like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. I asked Robert.
See, that's Robert's fault. He should have known you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he could have gotten away with that with any of us three, because we would have sat there and said, "No, I think you're doing a fine job, Mr. Commissioner."
Oh, I just started. I don't know what came over me. I just went on
it's
a
you
rant.
Being you.
This John, John doesn't say where he's from, but he's really today's all star.
One emailer today, just John.
No, we have a lot, but John is answering all the questions.
Lunch?
He reminds me that it was Armin Katayan that Belichick did the sit down with specifically about Spygate.
Yeah,
no recollection of that whatsoever.
Oh, you don't remember that?
No. He's Can you tell me some of the details on
it? I don't remember the details, but I do remember that it was Armin.
Was it on HBO? Oh,
it was a television interview?
It was on HBO, wasn't it? Or some
that explains why I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But he's tight with him. They have a very good relationship.
Never heard of Bill. I heard of Armin Katayan, but never heard
he
of
really
that interview.
He's kind of disappeared, news and disappeared. Is he embedded somewhere?
I didn't realize he had left
Actually, I didn't either. You know what? It was on CBS News.
It wasn't even part of a broadcast.
Good job, John.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I think that may have been what he parlayed into becoming a news reporter, Armin Katayan.
He has a link right
now. Remember when Fred couldn't say the name?
What?
Katayan.
Katayan.
I remember that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good stuff, John.
So a lot
Thank
of people
you.
Have sent us the YouTube link to that, so I'll remind myself about it.
Including
strippers. Everyone's sending the link now.
Okay, everybody can stop now.
All right,
Thank
we
you.
Got it.
No,
we got the link. Send lunch.
Fred says, Goodell took our first round pick and $750,000. He should get off his high horse.
Wow.
So.
I agree with that. I think the Patriots were punished severely. I don't have a problem with the punishment, but it's not like they got off lightly.
No.
They were punished severely. And he issued a statement. He didn't ignore it. He did issue a statement.
But was this personal or professional?
I think it was personal.
Well, that's what I think.
And that's why I think I have a problem with it.
See,
if it was professional, I could understand. You could give me some rational reason
actually why, I don't
why
have
you
a problem
need
with
it.
He's just mad. He feels deceived. Yeah. So he says, you know what? I feel deceived.
I'm
still upset.
I'm not going to
But
it.
Yeah. I haven't gone back and fined him again for not apologizing, or I haven't, you know, done anything to. I think it's just personal. I didn't like it. I didn't like how I was treated.
I have a problem with it because of it, and you like it because
I
of
do.
It. I think
because he can separate the personal and professional. Has he done anything to make Bill Belichick's life hell since he felt deceived? No. Well, not that I know of, but.
Well, I don't know. Those geniuses at the league seem to get brought up a lot in press conferences.
Yeah, but that's real stuff.
I think it's just personal.
Belichick
were getting bothered by something
him.
Personal, that would be okay. He's the commissioner of the NFL. He should be beyond the personal.
He's not. He's just a man.
He should be.
He's just a man. He's not a machine.
That's right. He's just a man. He's just another commissioner.
He has
his
flaws.
He's a jack.
What?
Just another commissioner.
JAC?
But shouldn't he be? I mean, he's not a robot.
Well, Pete
None
Rozelle
of these guys
to me
are robots.
You do have to get over
Pete Rozelle to me was more
position.
Than a jack.
But no. You don't have to get over it. You have to not allow it to
right. interfere
affect,
your decision
right. And
making.
Has he? I don't think he has.
Right.
So he can say to somebody, you know what, I never liked it. I felt deceived the way that unfolded, but I haven't done anything about it. I haven't treated the Patriots or Bill Belichick
That would be something if he had admitted, you know, at the end of his tenure and was, you know, putting together his memoirs or something. I would say, okay, that's something that bothered him, but we never knew what bothered him the whole time he was a commissioner. To throw it out there now in the middle of his, you know, probably early, not even the middle of his tenure, to me shows
he's
me
young,
that
he's and
he's
only in his, what,
51,
fifth year?
I think. Right?
Yeah.
Tells me that he's worried about things that he shouldn't be worried about.
And, you know,
maybe it is the end of his tenure with this whole CBA.
Imagine, though, you know, this
fair, another fair point by you.
Good quote from Ryan Clark, by the way, out of the Super Bowl. First positive spin on the CBA. He said they got to win the Super Bowl because then maybe they'll be champions for 2 years.
Right.
He was saying if they don't get the labor situation, there's no more league.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're the commissioner. You know, it's like PFW will go away. I'll be the editor of PFW, but
can you imagine if you were the guy at the front of the boat when the NFL just disbanded, a new league started, or whatever happened, and it went its way over the next 3 or 4 years? Can you
put a damper on your legacy?
That would really
good day, Goodell.
DSS Goodell.
But can you imagine? I guess this interview that King did with Goodell was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, January 7th.
And I would imagine that they had always
in the big room in New York,
regardless of what the interview entailed. It would come out this week during Super Bowl week.
Sure.
That was the plan. But can you imagine if the Patriots had been in the Super Bowl, then this thing got out?
Yeah.
The Patriots would be looking for Peter King on the street.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't be able to show his face.
Because it would be conspiratorial.
Whoa, I'd be looking for Roger Goodell.
Well, both, but yeah.
No, but yeah.
He wouldn't be hard to find. He has a big press
conspiracy
conference.
Theories would
oh,
be,
my God. Here they go again, right?
Imagine what our boy Pete Shepard would do to Goodell.
Oh, by the way, we're not in it, and that already happened. Webmaster Chris Ferreira came marching into my cube today and say, why is it that every year at the Super Bowl, this stupid Spygate gets brought up? What is that all about? So he's all worked
there
up about
go.
It. He thinks it's a conspiracy.
It could have been worse, though. Giovanni writes in, men of PFW, which includes Eric.
Oh, nice.
Would you guys stop arguing with Fred? He's developed this mental tactic where it seems like he never loses an argument. That does not mean he wins it. It's just the result of Paul giving up. Anyway.
In disgust, by the way.
Which needs to happen more often.
And earlier.
A few interesting points. One, I'm sure you guys saw the link tweeted by Ian Rappaport that highlighted some New England area reporter who asked Roethlisberger at Media Day about never beating the Patriots en route to playing the Super Bowl. Roethlisberger said he didn't care, but I do think that is a fair question. Does it take away from their Super Bowls? No. It is a surprising stat to think about. Second, on the radio yesterday, I heard a special about a psychotherapist who claims the Steelers have a much better chance of winning because their name is like 30% tougher than the Packers. I don't know how he figured that number, but because of this mental aspect, he thinks the Steelers will win. I think that's real dumb. The Panthers sound a bit tougher than the Patriots, and we all know what happened there. Okay.
Patriots have guns, and they're just cats.
Do you think that's a fair question?
Also pulled off the biggest upset in the history of warfare.
No.
I don't think it's a relevant question. I think it's a relevant fact.
Right.
To kind of jump on the Fred semantics bandwagon.
Who asked it, by the way?
I mean, he just said a local reporter. I don't know.
It wasn't Ian, probably.
It might have been Curran. Wrote a Roethlisberger story.
Am I wrong? Do you think that that's a relevant question
to
ask the quarterback?
If it was the AFC Championship game and the two teams were playing, then it's relevant.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
But absolutely. Now it's not. But that, I mean,
we didn't have a chance to beat them this year. They never made it to us.
The Patriots have gone to two Super Bowls since Roethlisberger's been in the league, right? And they only had to get through Roethlisberger once to do it. So does that means the question's off the table for Brady?
Right.
I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares who you beat on the way to the Super Bowl?
I keep seeing mock drafts and hearing scouts talk about drafting Cameron Jordan out of Cal.
Like it.
Interesting fact, I went to high school with him in New Cam, whose father played for Minnesota, and I'd be thrilled to have him as a defensive end. Congrats to Belichick and Brady on winning their respective awards, and hopefully we can see McCourty or Gronk win one today.
Nope.
Let's hear some, as Paul says, Fred Kirsch semantic arguments. Jets are garbage, Andy's awesome, and Ken Walters a future Hall of Famer.
Speaking of Andy, I have a bit of a dilemma.
I love Walter!
What's your
My
dilemma?
My beard. You know, I decided to do it because, you know, I didn't want to shave anymore.
Yeah, he's going to puss out on us.
Is he starting to eat it?
I'm
assuming you're doing TV this week sometime?
Tonight.
I have tomorrow night. Do I shave?
Oh, you need to shave.
No, keep it. No, you don't need to shave.
Well, you have to trim it a little.
No, you already look like a mountain.
No,
you don't have to trim it.
No trim rule.
It's not long enough.
Growing up your cheek.
It's a beard. I can't help that I'm hairy.
You don't need to trim it.
Virility.
Go talk to Jeff Kanoyer. However he's trimming it, that's how you need to trim it.
Then I'll just shave it because I'm not trimming it. If I'm going to take the time to trim it, I'm going to shave it.
Here's what we talked about. Here's what we talked about.
What's this pussing
out? You have to look like the Unabomber when you go on there?
A bed or something?
No, we were saying that Andy's going to try to do a combine beard. Try to make it last through the at least through the combine.
What is this with the beard?
If you have something going on.
Because it feels
nice. And he can.
Ladies like it, Freddie.
When he's on television.
Rubbing on their thighs.
Yeah. When he's on television, he can.
Why do you always have to take it to a dirty place? Sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
There's no need to dive that deep, Andy. Come on.
See what you did there.
While people are eating. But it's timely now because all these athletes are growing their beards and
I was gonna make a joke that I was pulling for the Steelers my Brett Kiesel look.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, that's an unbelievable mess.
He hasn't trimmed his.
That's an absolute unbelievable mess.
So you tell me I get a shave? Huh?
No, you don't.
No, not if you. I mean, listen, if.
But I was thinking of actually DVRing it and then going home being, oh, I should shave.
You have to neaten it up.
I wouldn't shave it because you feel like you have to. I mean, what do people that have beards do? They go on TV. I mean, if you want a beard.
I'm not Dan Fouts.
No, but if you were trying to grow a beard.
I can't think of a lot of regular people who have beards on TV. Dan Fouts. Okay, give me another.
I'm just saying.
The guy you like, Wolf Blitzer, right? Didn't he have a beard?
If you don't want to shave your beard and you want to keep it through the combine, I wouldn't shave it just because you're going on TV.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Just leave it. Troy Aikman lost his beard. I don't want to lose mine.
Oh!
I think in your current form. You would not look good on TV.
Well, that's what I'm also wondering. I'm not far enough in.
That's
yet.
Why I
you
asked.
Would look disrespectful.
Yeah, but what
I
if
think you look
okay,
dirty?
He's just doing it like,
oh, no,
on
dirty.
A
you need
on
to
a
shower
for the combine. But what if he were actually trying to grow a permanent beard?
Well, that's
you
what
can
I
still
that,
keep
that's
it trimmed while you're doing it. I'm not talking about the length of it. I'm talking about around the edges.
This evolved into what I wanted.
You keep it tight.
A stupid discussion.
You keep it tight.
Tight.
You know, you don't have
but your reason, Eric.
Your
is, that's my point. If you really want to grow a beard and you intend to,
no,
have
I don't
one,
really care.
I wouldn't shave it because you're going on TV.
Yeah, don't. Do
if
it.
You want to look better, I would shave it.
If you want to look respectable, you ass like, back.
You look like you need a shower.
Okay, you look dirty.
I don't feel dirty.
I don't feel dirty.
I showered this morning.
But people don't
I let it
know
go
that.
Yesterday at home.
They, Tom Brady never shaves.
It's all gray.
Oh.
But he has it trimmed. It's,
he doesn't
it,
have it trimmed.
I mean.
His is wild.
No, no.
Who's?
Brady.
Look at the edges.
Tight. I don't think so, Fred.
Matt Light doesn't trim his.
Well, that's yeah.
He's a mountain
that's,
man.
That's Brett
Kiesel. He's looking
territory.
For the mountain man look.
I never thought I would see anything that was worse than Matt Light, but
Brett
Kiesel is
way worse.
Noticeably
and
worse.
And Roethlisberger's is pretty bad. He's going to be a bushy one.
It's not... Paul almost snarfed.
That was a good one.
Roethlisberger's isn't... as long as Kiesel's or...
here we go. Or bushy.
Or Light's. But you're right, it's ugly.
Yeah.
It's just not a... It,
well, because he's ugly.
It's just, well,
it is what it is.
And he's got like sort of, it's like curly.
Yeah.
It's not like a straight beard.
It's like pubes.
I think everyone kind of had that, you know, they didn't need you to elaborate.
The
anyway.
Kid in New Hampshire might not agree.
Now we're going to have a pube open.
Speaking of dumb things that we always talk about, Ethan writes in from Delaware. I was browsing the net the other day and stumbled on this blog from PhD programmer in Australia. His latest idea was to make soap with a slot in the middle. You might want to get it patented here first before you lose out. So,
Freddy, too late.
Sons of bitches.
Who cares? It's a bad idea here. It's a bad idea there.
I still think it's a good idea.
Especially the bar soap market shrinking. It's all these.
I'll tell you what. I'm so confident they're going to win. If they lose, I'll let you shave it.
Yeah, and 7 years later, he actually shaved his head. Sort of.
Not really.
Tree Hugger in Oregon says.
A lot of gray on the sides today.
Here is a question for the.
No, we can just whack off.
Diaspora. Ask Eric of Patriots fans around the globe.
Yeah, it's the dispersion of a group of people who live in a
I didn't
area.
Ask you.
It did ask me.
It said ask Eric.
It did, yeah.
If you didn't want to ask Eric, you shouldn't have read that part of the email.
What is the
did
best...
he pronounce it right?
Diaspora.
Nice!
What is the best, most reliable, and cost-effective TV package for following the Patriots outside of the New England area? I'm between plans, and I can choose between Comcast, DirecTV, or Dish Network.
DirecTV. Because you can get the Sunday ticket and watch the games.
If you're
what about the local programming?
If you're a diehard fan and you need to see every play, Andy's right. Because you want to watch every game. You want to know you're going to get every game in its entirety. Now, if you're just kind of casual, I would get Comcast. You're going to get enough games that you're going to get to see between their primetime games and their
National 4 o'clock,
you know, exclusive games. Plus, you have the Red Zone channel to keep tabs on the games in between. And you can follow games pretty well that way. But if you really need to see every play, you're a diehard fan, you got to get the package.
And local Comcast is available on both, correct? Oh, wait, you wouldn't be if you just got Comcast far away.
I don't know what they show in
you
Denver.
You got to go yeah. Satellite. You got to go DirecTV.
I would get
Pony
direct,
up.
I would get DirecTV.
Pay the coin and get DirecTV.
Thomas in Nova Scotia, man, I got to say the show took a real downturn from the Christmas break on when you guys get into some one of those hour-long ridiculous arguments. You have to introduce some kind of fan-activated bomb like the one you guys use on Bad Callers or like they use on the show Audibles. But since I'm not really a Pats fan, this is actually my favorite time of year to listen to the show as I find I hear more about the league as a whole. On NFL Network yesterday, after the Coach of the Year award was handed out, they asked Bill Belichick about the Super Bowl. He seemed to insinuate that he thinks the Steelers will win. Thoughts.
Oh, I took the exact opposite.
So did I.
I thought the tone of his voice was the Steelers stink. They've been here before and they've played in these games, but the Packers are the better team.
Yeah, I think he said the overall better team is the Packers.
Oh, yeah. When you could hear him. I thought he was...
I was going to say the second time around.
I thought his comments and tone, I thought he didn't have much good to say about the Steelers, honestly.
No, I definitely...
He didn't say either.
Did you see it too?
Yeah. But we're reading between the lines.
Between the lines, I think he thinks the Packers will win.
Are the better team.
Right.
He emphasized Jenkins coming back. He said their coverage, Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And then the Steelers, they've been in these games before. They have good experience or something. I mean, he didn't really have much good to say about the Steelers, I didn't think. I thought also interesting in there, could have been a plant question from Mike Lombardi, since, you know, we know he's a Belichick guy. Asked him about the three picks in the top 33, and Bill said, we've already gotten offers on those. I thought that was interesting.
Well, it's kind of a joke, right?
Maybe. Or he's trying to drum up offers on those picks.
Why would that be a joke?
Do you really think he needs to do that?
I don't know what he needs to do.
Why do you think that's a joke?
I think Belichick was joking around when he said that.
I don't think he was at all.
Well, they were all laughing.
I didn't hear much laughing.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't see it, so I
didn't hear much laughing.
Go listen to it and watch it again.
I was just going to give you guys credit for for watching something, and you guys both agreed
right.
on the Green Bay Pittsburgh thing, and now you guys both have a diametric opposite.
They
view.
Were absolutely laughing after okay, he said that. Maybe. So was Belichick. He laughed too.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, but he might not have been laughing because he was making it up.
He was laughing. Said Woodcock.
No, but he, even if he laughed, he could laugh just because,
so, because
it's funny
ridiculous.
To be in that position.
Like, I already had offers yeah. for this thing.
By the way, you
do you think
get...
it's out of the realm of possibility that he's had offers
no,
for his picks?
No, I think it's absolutely, probably he has. I
so
think,
what's the
so
joke?
You agree?
But I think that he was joking around about, you know, just the fact that...
He has three of the top 33 picks.
Yeah, and that people have already talked to him about it.
Okay, that's
they,
how I took
but
it,
But they
too.
Were all laughing.
But not laughing but that
not
it's a joke.
That it's not
it wasn't
true.
A joke. He's already had offers on the picks.
Okay.
You just said it yourself. Did
I,
you not
I'm
just
not...
say that?
I'm not involved. Just for the record, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I'm out.
I think Belichick said it to make them laugh.
But
the reason he said it was to be humorous.
That may be, but I took it as he's already had offers on those picks.
I took him literally too.
Okay,
I'm like Gary Gold over here. There's an argument going on.
I think he said it to make them laugh to, as an attempt to humor.
I didn't remember. Can you get that?
Yeah, get it up.
Did you just say get it up to
yes,
me?
Can you get yes. Belichick's audio from last night on NFL Network? See if you can find that.
I'll
anywhere.
Look for it.
It's on NFL.com. It's on our site. It's on Patriots.com.
The second time, please, because the first time there was only yes. six words in between the blanks from the cell phone.
This could be hilarious.
Here we go.
He's mad at me.
Cape Cod Scott writes in, hey, boys and girls, you decide. Andy talked about his new favorite stuffed cheeseburger on Tuesday. Yeah. You might be interested in the origin of that burger. I got the following from Wikipedia after seeing a feature on the two bars of Minneapolis who both claim to have invented it.
I think I saw that.
Thanks as always for the great show. Rooting for the Packers this weekend. Looking forward to the draft and especially next season. By the way, the day after the Patriots-Jets game, my wife and I went to see the Green Hornet crappy movie to get our minds off the loss. One good part of the movie...
That was good choice after losing to the Jets.
One good part of the movie was when the bad guys decided they wanted to eliminate the Green Hornet, but they didn't know what he looked like. So they put out a $1 million hit on him, and the thugs went out in the city and started killing anybody wearing green. Seemed like a pretty good idea to me. So anyway, your burger is officially called the Juicy Lucy.
Yes, I saw that the other day. They spell it two different ways, though, at the two different places.
Okay. This way spells it J-U-C-Y without the I. J-U-C-Y-L-U-C-Y.
Yeah, there's two restaurants, and they both have it, like, painted on the side of the building or something. It was
right,
on
Mass
recently.
Bar and the 5-8 Club.
They look really good.
Are the two places in Minneapolis that do they this.
I'm going to start experimenting in various cheeses, maybe some bacon, bits of bacon in.
Okay.
I'm ready. Maybe a pickle in there.
Nice
warm pickle.
Not surprised.
Because you know warm pickles are
juicy pickles.
See, I just say not surprised. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He has to explain
right.
it further.
Like a Dan Tugender explanation.
Still
there.
Working on it.
You get it?
It's funny because he's
Mario from San Benito says, how's it going? Just a quick question. I had seen something online that said the Dolphins might not bring back Ronnie Brown next year. I know he's been injury prone, but he's been at least somewhat successful against the Patriots. Would you pick him up if he's available?
Yep. I think he's one of those committee guys because the committee's going to change.
He's on the free agent
list. I'd get
list
rid of
me.
Sammy Morris, though,
well,
if I did.
Morris and Taylor are already
gone. They're
gone. They're free agents. They're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only question of coming back is Kevin Falk. You're going to have Green Ellis and you're going to have Woodhead. If you go with five, you have two, maybe three spots available for a rookie that you draft or a veteran, Pierre Thomas, we should keep in mind, who's also a free agent. Mm-hmm. But Ronnie Brown would be a candidate.
All depends on what Ronnie Brown's looking for money. Now, with all his injuries, I can't imagine he wants to break the bank. I mean, is well, looking to break the bank, not that he doesn't want to break the bank.
Taylor got a little money when he came here, remember?
Yeah, I would give him that kind of money, wouldn't you, Ronnie Brown?
Sure.
Sure.
That million?
That means he had
like
no respect for
a couple million?
Said.
Taylor got
a couple million,
if
right?
I remember correctly.
And Ronnie Brown is, to
might
me,
have even been
much,
like $3 million?
Much younger, I think he offers you more upside at this
I mean,
stage
if
of his
he can
career,
stay then. Healthy, I still think he can be a 1,300-yard back.
And he did stay healthy this year. He played the whole
his
year.
His numbers weren't good, though.
No.
He was below four a carry.
He didn't have a great year, but he's the kind of back that I think Bill likes in that he does pretty much everything
mm-hmm.
pretty well.
Versatile.
I don't know how much.
Remember
of a,
that year under Cam Cameron where he was on the he was in
oh
the
God.
LT pace? It was 100 catches, 1,000 yards, do everything.
I don't know what he you know what he would be like as a blocker. But I've seen him do everything else really well, and I think that Belichick would
and
like to have that kind of guy.
He'd be better with Tom Brady
oh.
than Chad Henne.
probably a reasonable assumption for any offensive
player.
Those
draws are a little more valuable. Those linebackers are a little deeper in their drops than they are. When
how you doing, Kevin?
Chad Henne's.
But good, really good receiver. Bill once called him a wide receiver coming out of the backfield. That's how good he is as a pass receiver. We've even seen him throw the football.
Indeed.
He's a pretty versatile guy.
Brian in Baltimore says, hey, guys, and Eric, no, screw you.
He was just clearing his throat.
What's up, guys? What's up, guys? I haven't
said and. Not
guys. Hey, guys, and Eric.
Meaning you're not a guy.
Oh.
Do I need to explain it to you like two gender would?
No.
What's up, guys? Haven't written to you in a while, and I wanted to start with a debate I'm having with some lame Steeler fans here in Baltimore. Is Ben a lock for the Hall of Fame right now? Or is he a lock if he wins or if he loses this weekend? In my mind, even if he wins the game this weekend, he's not a Hall of Famer to me. Stats and Super Bowl aside, I made my own list of 40 quarterbacks all time in their prime I would rather have than Ben in his prime, which you could argue is right now. And there are 23 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, right? I'm not going to list all 40 quarterbacks for you, but it's clear to me, unlike these Homer Steeler fans, I know that Ben is not Hall of Fame worthy. Help me out. What are the main reasons he would not get into the Hall of Fame, or am I just wrong?
Well, I think you'd have a hard time making an argument if he won another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the main argument is he rides the coattails right? of his defense.
I mean,
he's a defensive
didn't
and running
Brady
game
become
led
a lock for the Hall of Fame when he won his third one?
Yeah.
Wasn't he universally
right.
considered an absolute
and
lock?
And with Brady, it really didn't have much to do with numbers.
No.
Right.
You know,
matter of fact, you could make the argument that when it has become about numbers for Brady, the Patriots haven't been able to win.
Right.
You know, to the same level. I mean,
right.
They've won.
Right.
Before you start yelling at me, Fred. They haven't won a title.
Won Super Bowls.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know 14-2 is pretty
so,
good.
You know,
16-0 is really good.
With the Hall of Fame, when it comes to the skill positions, numbers has a lot to do with it because you have to compare somehow. But then beyond the numbers, it's championships.
But either way, he has pretty impressive numbers, too.
He's
he gets underrated for his numbers.
There was a year that they had that they weren't that successful as a team. They didn't go to the Super Bowl. That he had an off-the-charts
year. He had
year.
A passer rating of 10-something one year.
You know, so he has done it when he's had to carry the load, too.
I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Certainly, I mean, you just compare him to Bradshaw, who's in as a winner.
He's, yeah.
And didn't
better,
have
better,
numbers. To me, Ben, if he wins another, is knocking on the door of the winning and has numbers. Now, the era is a little different, so his numbers are probably a little inflated. But I think you just watch him and what he's done in a short time. Everything he's done, he's been the youngest to do it, the first to do it, the fastest to do it. You know, he was like the first rookie AP something since the 60s and this. And like everything he's done, he's been ahead of the curve. And if you do that to me... You're great. You're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, just because, and I would agree with the arguments against him in terms of Brady and Manning. I don't think he's that kind of quarterback. I don't think he's on their level.
Right. But
that doesn't mean he's not a great quarterback, and it doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer.
Does Steve Young not go in because he's not as great as Joe Montana? No, they're both in.
And by the way, not even close.
Right.
Their two careers are not even comparable.
Right.
But Steve Young is still a Hall of Famer.
Just because there's one or two good quarterbacks in an era doesn't eliminate everybody else from Hall. I mean, then you could have a dry spell where there's no truly great quarterbacks. I think Sam Bradford's the next Peyton Manning. He might not be. If Brady and Manning retire and all of a sudden it peters out, maybe you just have a down era for quarterbacks.
I actually think this is going to be a very good one.
It could be.
I think you're going to have the guys like Brady and Manning, to a lesser extent, Breeze, some older guys that are still going to be really good, if not still great. And then you're going to have the Matt Ryans,
Philip Rivers. Yeah. As soon as he wins one, people will say he's great.
Ben, Aaron Rodgers. There's some young quarterbacks that are in the prime.
Sam
they're entering their prime right now. I think they're going to be good. You're going to have. I think there's a chance that you're going to end up with about 15 really good quarterbacks.
Are they really good, or is it a passing era?
In 2 years. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. Like Joe Flacco, for example. Joe Flacco's numbers are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch him, he's
not
really, really good.
Right.
And I like Flacco, but he's not great. He's okay. He's good. He's not great.
Great.
But his numbers would suggest,
right?
2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Right. Threw for as many yards as all the other
playoff
quarterbacks
wins
do.
On the road.
He has a good winning resume, but you watch him, he's not great. He's not.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, are there going to be like running backs who barely get 1,000 yards, who maybe in a different era would get an extra 75 carries and an extra 500 yards or whatever.
Remember back in the day when it just seemed like there were all these great running backs in the league,
you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, averaged 4 yards a carry, didn't get a million carries.
Who was the most productive running back in football this year? Just to back up your point. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say either Foster or...
Yeah, it was Arian Foster, but I think that backs up your point.
Right.
There used to be a time where you had 5, 6, 7
guys.
And
it was every year,
know,
the same guys.
They were great players. Now, Chris Johnson, Arian Foster, you know, who knows who it's going to be next year.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why I don't really care if they invest a first-round pick in a running back. And by the way, you got, there was an email about that. Why is PFW so anti-running back? I'm not bringing you guys in with my.
You tell me there's a good running back. I don't think there are any this year that I would draft.
Well, I think we all said don't go first round with a running back.
No, I never said that.
But
that,
Andy does.
I believe
I
said. I've never heard one complaint out of Minnesota that they drafted Adrian Peterson.
Well, he's not available this year.
No, but I'm saying if there's a guy that you think is great,
I don't like the philosophy.
But I'll take him in a heartbeat.
I don't like the philosophy.
Okay, but he's
got
to be a blue chipper.
Right. I don't
want
to take a bad running back
in the
first round. We've done that.
I don't want him.
Oh, I would.
No, he's great. He's great. He's
a
great running back.
In a heartbeat. Heartbeat.
I don't want to waste a first-round pick on
that's
a running back.
That's not a waste, Paul.
I don't want to use a first-round pick on
he'd
a running back.
He'd rather have an average safety.
Well, I don't want to throw away my first-round picks.
Yeah.
I don't want to not take Adrian Peterson so I can get a Jag. I want another position that I can get more out of.
But if you get...
That's great.
If you get Adrian Peterson, you're getting a lot out of your running back.
Yeah, for a few years.
I'll take it.
I'd rather have a guy that can play for me for 10 years. Now, you can make the argument,
who?
We don't do that.
I was going to say, who?
Name one.
Other than Brady.
Kevin, you all teed up over there?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so we're going to listen to this interview over the phone that Belichick did with NFL Network and let people judge for
themselves. I hope it's the first
one. I'll let you have the floor and just your thoughts on winning the award because we couldn't hear you the first time around.
Well, I accept the award on behalf of the entire organization, ownership, our assistant coaches, and certainly the players. They're the ones that stepped up and made the plays this year. And, you know, we had a lot of new people on the team, young players that contributed. And, it's certainly, an honor to receive this award on behalf of, our performance in the regular season. Unfortunately, we weren't able to carry that over into the playoffs.
Bill, going forward, congratulations on the award, but now going forward, you have three of the top picks in the draft, in the first 33 picks. Have you given any thought about, as young as your team is, what are you going to do with those picks as you move forward?
Well, Mike, we've already had a couple offers on them, so, we'll see what happens, but, we'll do whatever we can to improve the team, whether that's move up, move down.
Head to clear victory, pull out.
Try to add more players and more depth to our roster.
Yeah, I think he was just kidding around.
I think there's legitimate interest. I would lean to Fred. I think that was kind of lighthearted. I think he was kind of.
Why are you so stubborn?
I think he was giggling as he said it.
He was. But I think he was giggling in the fact that I'm not going to tell you, Mike, what I'm doing with my picks. I'll just say that I got off. You know, that's all the information he was going to give was that he's already gotten off.
I think it was an attempt at humor.
an attempt at humor. I like how you phrase that.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm with Fred twice this show.
Christian with a TIAN.
I actually, just so you know, I kind of agreed with you because I was going to tweet it. I was like, if I tweet this, it comes off as just fact. If you tweet, Belichick said, I've had offers on the three.
Well, you say Belichick laughingly said, and then it's.
I don't think he was laughing at the fact that he got offers. I think he was laughing at the fact that he's not. The question was, do you have any plans for the picks going forward? And he was not going to tell you what his plans are for the picks.
That's why he made a joke about it.
For all we know, he's laughing because while accepting Coach of the Year, we're already asking.
That's why
about the draft.
When Tom Curran asked him during a press conference about injuries, he smiles and says, "Well, you know, Wednesday we'll get that out. I know you guys can't
wait to get that."
But the fact remains, on Wednesday you're going to get the report, but he says it jokingly.
But the fact
but
remains that the report comes out on Wednesday. So the fact remains here that they've gotten offers already.
Look, I'll agree with you guys that I think they will get offers on them.
I think they already have.
But I don't think.
See,
that,
I also think,
I don't think
that
that's
what Andy
news.
Said is true too. I think there's a chance that Lombardi may have asked that question on purpose.
I don't think that's news. I
to
think
drum
in
up
this
more
case,
interest in it.
He was saying it to be funny. Thank you.
It was an attempt at humor.
And the evidence supports
There's no
my,
evidence.
Well, there's certainly no evidence for any of it. So I don't know. This is
stupid. Wait, I thought you were winning.
Now we have a three-way argument.
You just jumped ship. No, no, no. I don't think there's any evidence either side. Right. I mean, to say that he definitely got offers, I don't think there's any evidence of that.
Well, there is. We just don't have it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Not that we know.
No, it's all an interpretation.
I'm with Fred. I think that it was a lighthearted attempt at humor.
Well,
it wasn't hilarious.
It wasn't funny.
As
it
opposed to a
funny.
Dour attempt at humor.
No, I
like that word, dour.
Yes, that's good.
I agree with you, Fred. I'm sticking by you, Freddie.
Chris with the TIAN says, well, here we are again, Spygate. I was wondering where the men of PFW and Eric come down on the whole issue of they haven't won a championship since the NFL took the cameras away argument. Do you think there is any validity to that? Rodney Harrison was on Florio the other day. He said it's all about experience and taking it up a notch in the playoffs. He claimed that this young Pats team quite isn't there yet. My opinion is I have no idea how much that information helped. However, I am confident in saying that it did help on some level. Why else would they do it? I really think they just haven't had the players to take it all the way to another Lombardi. As a fan, this is very frustrating. Bad enough we have had an awful postseason loss going all the way back to 07 championship game. We also have to deal with this crap on top of it. However, I do like the us against the whole NFL mentality and kindly extend my middle finger to any other fan base if they bring up Spygate. All right.
But why would the training wheels fall off, so to speak, only in the postseason? Like, if you lacked the information that made you great, wouldn't you lack the information
that's
that made you great?
That's why
when you were winning 16 regular season games.
It has less to do with losing cameras and more to do with losing Harrison and Bruschi and McGinnis and all those guys.
I don't think there's any question that it's about players.
Right.
However, can I make my devil's advocate argument that I made before about the MVP thing?
Sure.
For the people like the Pittsburgh Steelers who think that this was the be-all, end-all, and it's fact, not opinion. They haven't won anything since the cameras away. They have been losing in the playoffs to teams that they have seen in the regular season. And maybe without the tapes of the signals and stuff, they're not as much of an advantage. They lost to the Giants, who they had seen a couple of weeks earlier. They lost to the Jets, who they had seen a few weeks earlier. They lost to the Ravens, who they had seen earlier in the season.
But why
again,
did they beat them
the
first
time? It's all about players.
But why did they beat them the first time?
I don't know.
And then
it's all
lose
about
the
players
second.
To me. They're not as good a team as they were back then.
But it's not like...
I'm wholeheartedly with
why
you.
Why does the other team gain an advantage in the second meeting? Are they cheating? Because these are teams that they beat the first
but
time.
But maybe now that they're seeing how the Patriots went about their business against them on the field, they know better how to deal with it, and the talent takes over the second time around.
Yeah, I don't. This just seems strange.
It's all about players to me. I mean, I think I was making purposely making
a
devil's advocate argument. I don't believe it for a second.
I don't think it holds much water. I
don't believe it for a second. Yeah. But I also do agree with Christian the way he said, I don't think they would have done it if they didn't get any tangible value out of it. I think they would get in something out of it that they're not getting anymore.
But we've also argued they think they get value out of a lot of stuff we don't believe. The whole injury thing, or not saying absolutely a word about anything, or not allowing a guy to
no
save foot.
They leave no stone unturned.
Right. We don't know which stone actually helps. Right. We know that the players help. We know for a fact that good players are a good thing to have. Right? That's the only fact here.
Yes.
All the stupid little things they do, we don't know which ones do actually help and which ones don't.
Josh in Arlington says, putting a bunch of crap in a cheeseburger is a great idea. My buddies and I have been doing that for years.
That's great.
We call them surprise burgers. A couple of my favorite things
sounds
to put
dirty.
In them are as follow. Peanut butter,
Doritos,
Fritos, jalapeno peppers, and M&Ms.
Oh.
They can be a bit tricky to pack and cook, but damn, they are good. We call them surprise burgers because we used to make them for each other without saying what was inside.
This one's a spunk burger.
There was no malicious intent involved, so no one had to worry that they would get a bunch of crap that they would make them vomit. Being as childish as you are, I'm not sure you could be trusted
to
prank someone with something
they despise,
but nothing wrong with enjoying your own.
Imagine if we go to his house for a summer barbecue.
It's a surprise burger. Try it.
No, but I couldn't enjoy the burgers because knowing my own mentality, I would assume someone else was putting something gross in. So, yeah, I need to know what's in them. Bacon. And I have no interest in chocolate or peanut butter.
I don't think I could eat any of those things.
I want bacon.
Maybe jalapenos.
Well, yeah, I don't like them, but that's normal.
But Doritos.
Did you put ketchup in your mixture?
No.
You just put cheese?
I just put a slice of cheese inside. I folded it into like a square stack of cheese, put it in the middle.
My mother used to make cheeseburger meatloaf.
Oh, yeah.
And she would put the cheese and the ketchup.
Ketchup's pretty common in a lot of meatloaf recipes. Yeah, some even put it on top after and glaze it.
I've had that. So you could make a hamburger that way.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of these stuffed burger recipes that kind of morph into almost meatloaf burgers where they put eggs, they put some breadcrumbs as a
filler.
Not filler, but to bind it, and different things. So there is kind of a, when you cross over. I just made a flat-out burger, two patties, put a little divot down in it, put some cheese in, put them together, boom. Did almost blow up, though. It got taller than it was wide. It, like, inflated as the cheese and stuff cooked.
Wow.
I was worried that I was going to get hit with something in the face.
Hit with some cheese in the face?
Yeah.
Some man cheese?
Yeah, yeah, cheese. Yeah, that's
there
it.
We go.
Yeah, they always take it to a dirty place.
Yeah, we always take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Thomas from Nottingham, United Kingdom, says, good evening, lads.
Nottingham.
Hey, and Sheriff. Eric.
It's like 7 o'clock over there now or whatever. Just to
did
say
you
that
say,
I'm
hey, Sheriff?
Listening to you guys from old England on my iPhone through the Pats app, and I think your show is fantastic. Ocho Cinco would be quality, and I think our defense has some serious potential. Very excited. Keep up the good work and look forward to some great stuff from the Pats.
Tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Ocho Cinco, you think any more talk about him?
Well, we did Not our
much.
Debate Friday
We did
the
debate
week.
Friday, yeah.
He was down at the Super Bowl during media day. I saw him walking around.
Darrell Revis is there today, apparently showed up walking around.
I don't like Deion Sanders. Not as a person, but as a commentator. I'm so annoyed by him.
Now, you really mean Deion Sanders here?
I mean, Deion Sanders.
Okay, no, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes he slips.
You made me have to think about
it, though.
Yeah, you made me have to think about it.
I was going
to
say, no, Deion Brand.
Well, he was talking Ocho Cinco and then said, I really don't like Deion Sanders.
No, it just reminded me because I was watching Ocho Cinco being interviewed and Deion Sanders walked up behind him at midday and like had to, get in camera.
Like he was still a player?
Yeah, it's just.
And they're in that fraternity.
To me, it's annoying what he does.
Yes.
It's also a
double severe
standard.
Conflict of interest.
Right.
Prime U is getting all these guys ready, and then he's covering
the
draft.
Well, forget about that. I agree with you there. But just him as a broadcaster, he's very annoying. I don't mind him when he's, like, in a set giving an opinion about something. But when he's in with other players, he acts like a.
But they all do.
He's
a lot
of
those other old players do.
Yeah, especially any of the former players that actually have played with guys that are still
right.
In the league, forget about it. You can't get anything other than that old boy fraternity. They have to. Oh, I know you. You remember me. I was great too.
Right, right.
And you can't really trust that what they're saying is. Not that it's not accurate, but that they're couching what they're saying so that they don't offend the player that they used to play with or against or whatever. You know.
Nothing. Go ahead.
What's the matter?
There's a rule there somewhere.
Yeah,
Paul's thinking about one of his rules.
No, I just had a no. I can't.
You can. It's PFW in progress. We can.
It's so gratuitous. Even I can't do it.
Do it. That's what makes your show. That's why ratings are plummeting.
I can't.
Okay,
Eric.
I resign. Kevin's doing the ratings today. As you would call them.
And
actually, we call them.
We'll see if they get back to pre-November heights. I doubt it.
Yeah, well, 3 p.m. meeting.
Why are they
going
to get to pre-November heights?
Because that's
in
when they
February.
Dropped 25%. We had gone
but
over a year.
You have to compare
February
and March.
You have to compare that November to the November.
We had grown for over a year every month. Month to month increase.
Well, there's
it is
no
a little
question
surprising
in my mind.
That it dropped in the middle of the season when they were on their
troubling.
Way to a playoff run.
It was a holiday that month.
That was troubling to me.
That's what he said.
But if our ratings right now are not the same as they were during the season. That's not going to be troubling to me.
No, but the fact
if
that
they're way below what they were last offseason, that would be troubling.
Yes, they won't drop that far.
You have to compare year to year.
Yes.
No, but
I don't.
The point is
not when it had risen for 13 straight months and then all of a sudden stopped
right,
rising.
If the drop happened now after they lost their playoff game and it's the offseason, you can understand that. But it dropped off
November?
People are
taking out their anger on the team on
us. If you went to 2009, Andy, and all of a sudden November dropped in 2009 the same way it did here, you would see something's going on. That's why you have to do
it
year to year.
But it didn't.
Plus,
it had been over a year that had risen every month.
If they were rising, then we just put a different way of counting them. If they're rising in the offseason, there's no way we have as much. We don't get as many emails in the offseason.
We're popular.
We don't get as much interaction in the offseason. There's no way as many people are listening right now as were in October.
I don't know. Some people say they like us better in the offseason. Football doesn't get in the way.
The show is... always great. Come on.
Not always.
Shameless self-promotion.
It is.
Great. Not great. Pass it.
They're really coming along with that.
Tolerable.
Fred. You see, now they're putting plywood on the inside of the walls over
it's
the insulation.
Taking a long time.
Yeah, Fred, they're working away while you're talking.
I think we might want to move into there. That looks like it's going to be a nicer studio.
Yeah, well,
they might.
We're
just so anxious to get this done.
What's that? Just save this for EEI.
We'll yeah, brand new studio. One. Things will be cleaner in there. It'll just be for us.
Well, that one's much smaller than this one.
PFW. Yeah, but it's only four of us.
Andy, that's be true. Nice.
Yeah, but two of us are a bit overweight.
He just can't help himself.
The round mounds of rebound over there.
Well, I'm fat too, so it's fine.
Eric, by the
but
way,
I don't sit in your.
You know your guy Cam Jordan. You guys have something in common. Sort of. His dad went to Brown, and you always wanted to go to Brown. They didn't ask you to come, but.
So you have something in common.
So you want me to ask him about that
well,
at the combine?
He didn't go to Brown either.
All right.
Maybe you're who are three guys that have never been in my kitchen.
I like Eric did the imitation of my look.
Yeah.
How come you didn't
this?
What?
Comment on my sweater.
He's wearing a Baltimore Ravens type Argyle sweater.
No, this is
that
blue. Fred, this isn't purple.
It's a deep
blue. Navy,
it's kind of purplish.
There is no purple to it.
There's no purple at all. It's royal blue.
I may not know royal blue or something, but that's not purple. There's
royal
blue
there.
There's no purple in this thing at all.
It's blue.
There's no raven to that.
Yeah, it's royal blue with navy blue.
And a navy waffle.
And a light
charcoal.
Gray. Yeah, charcoal. That's
and the white accent.
Anyway, and what color is the waffle?
Looks navy
dark
to me.
Dark blue. I'll say dark because I don't want Fred to get upset.
I want it.
Paul, I know what we can talk about. Who you like in the beanpot?
Let's move on. No one cares.
No one cares about that.
We have plenty of emails I need
why
to get
you read
to.
Some,
including me.
Matt writes in, I'm slowly recovering from our second playoff no-show. Given the choice, I'd rather have a 9-7 season with an inspired postseason performance than a 14-2 performance just to lose to a blank bum team like the Jets.
Is that true?
I have spent $350 a year to have NFL season ticket. It is the only way that I know to reliably see every Patriots game. There's an answer to the other guy's question. I don't have time to watch other teams with two little kids. 3.5 hours a week is about as much as I can spare anyway. I'd rather not pay that money, especially since the important stuff, playoffs, is on network TV. Do you know of any other way to see every regular season Patriots game? I don't care if I have to see the games a day or two later.
Legally?
Going to a bar is not really an option. The wife ain't having that, so any ideas?
I would just check Kirschwords every game.
PFWinprogress.com.
Usually some type of link.
Don't you usually give out something?
Yeah, but they're not reliable. Sometimes they get shut down in the middle.
Is that channelsurfing.net?
That's one of them.
How do they get shut down? Do like people kick down the door and come in with guns?
Yeah.
Really? Are there like internet police?
I don't know. I know the league, you know, clamps down on that stuff. And the
but
networks.
Yeah,
works.
How do you how does the
well, I published the link. Everybody knows about it.
No, that wasn't my question. I was going to say how do the people who monitor whether it
must be
legal
digitally.
Or not tell the people who are breaking the law that they're doing so?
They must just send some kind of bullet and blow them up or something.
I remember
they used to do that with the cable boxes. They would send bullets through the black boxes that would burn out your box.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I know another thing they used to do is they used to like offer a free T-shirt if you responded. And they would only send that to people that had black boxes or, you know, illegal boxes. And then
they had some sort of electronic bullet where they could only send it to people that didn't order the fight or something. And then it would blow up your box.
Yeah.
Like a virus for
those black
the box.
I used to love those fights.
Oh, I loved the boxes. It wasn't for the fights either. It was in my developmental years.
Oh, boy.
your socks didn't like the box.
No.
Too much.
Mom, let's I see. Need new socks again.
I still don't understand why PFW was so opposed to our team trying to acquire a premier running back. I can't believe that people are seriously considering that whack job Ocho Cinco. If we are serious about getting away from relying on Tom to have a good game, it seems logical that a great back would help. It also could add some years to Tom's career. We've seen that other teams can remove our outstanding passing game when they need to. So
yeah, we talked about this a little bit ago. First of all, it's me, not everybody else. So I don't want to drag you guys down with
Paul.
Me. But I'm not. I want to get running backs. I just don't want to use a first round pick to get a running back. It's because I think the way he phrased it was anti acquiring a running back. The Patriots need running backs next year. You can't go in with
but
just,
I want more than just bodies.
Yeah, you need,
I want productive.
You need a better guy to me than
I'd
Benny.
Like Ben Jarvis Grinnellis to be my number two. I want a real number one.
Yes,
no offense to Ben Jarvis.
I agree with that. But I think Fred Taylor would have been the guy had he not been healthy.
But
and
he's
I,
not.
But he's not the long-term
at
solution.
Most, he's out 10
but,
games.
But
you're
it didn't, excited.
But it
or?
Didn't work. It didn't work. I think that style can be
So Pierre
effective.
Thomas would make you
Absolutely.
Happy.
See, Absolutely. You can win a title with Pierre Thomas like he did.
You maybe you, well. You can win a title with anybody. You can win a title with Lawrence Maroney.
No, I understand.
I want somebody
that,
that's going to help
mean, you
me
can,
lead me to a title, not just be along for the
Pierre
ride.
And Pierre Thomas did that. That's what I'm saying. It's not. They didn't win in spite of
He's
Pierre
a
Thomas.
He's a complimentary back.
He was a big part of why they won.
Complimentary.
Well, I think
want
that's
a guy
all I
that
need.
When another team knows I'm running, I can still run. I want another guy that they fear that guy running. I don't think you fear Pierre Thomas. I don't think you fear Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
I know what you're saying. I don't disagree with you 100%. I just think that you put more stock in it than I do.
The trouble is, I also don't think there's any of those guys in this draft. I'm not a big Mark Ingram guy. And I think all the guys in the draft are either tweeners
well, on
or
on a team with Tom Brady, do you know, a guy like you're talking about is going to be one of the highest paid players in the league. On a team with Tom Brady, would you rather spend that money on defense or other places than
running
back? Yeah,
I'm not saying either or, but I'm just saying, and if you draft a guy, there's not that much money. Unless you take the guy in the top four or something,
mm-hmm.
the money's not that big a deal. I mean, contracts come on and off the books every year. A running back, until his second deal, that's where you got to be careful, is after he has his 4,000-yard seasons,
right.
Do you give him $45 million? And right. I'd say no. I'd learned my lesson there.
And Peterson, obviously, is great. I mean, you know, but there aren't many of those.
Right, I want one. I want to remove the on a team with Tom Brady theory. I just want to get a running back that I think would be great on any team and then see what happens when I put him with Tom Brady. I don't want to go the theory of, oh, he'll be better with Tom Brady and maybe he'll be good enough.
So like,
let's try to find the best running back we can find and see what happens.
Like Terrell Davis when he got to Denver. People always said, oh, if John Elway had a running game, imagine what they would have done. And then he got Terrell Davis.
Sure, whatever.
Terrell Davis could have been a great running back for any team.
I just want Terrell, yeah, but Terrell Davis was like a six-round pick, wasn't
right,
he?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he turned into the kind
right,
of player
but
that could.
You would never have known that. Andy's saying go after the blue chipper.
No,
that's a lot different.
I
yeah.
want.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. I.
But there's no blue chippers this year, so I don't want Mark Ingram. I'm. This is either through free agency this year, or we got to try to get a third or fourth rounder that will be that guy.
I think they'll. I'm all for drafting a guy in the third or fourth round.
I just don't have
maybe
this
even
philosophical distaste for a running back in the top 15. If the guy's there,
I do.
And I think he is Adrian Peterson, if I think he's Emmitt Smith, if I think he's anybody, I'm taking him. I'll take what
Kajana
I can get
Carter.
Out of him. No, no. But I'm also not taking anybody else at any position that I think could stink. I want the blue chip. And if the blue chip's a running back, I'm taking him.
And to get the blue chip, it involves not trading the picks that you have, which this team has been wont to do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you can get
it's want with
by seven, trading 17 and 28 using the draft trade value chart, you can get to six. By throwing in the 33rd pick, you can get up to three.
Okay.
So the Patriots could get as high, theoretically, very easily, as the third pick in the draft.
By giving away the first three picks.
Yeah.
But not giving away anything. They're extras.
No.
You really should only have one pick in the first 33. If you make it at three, okay, well, now we got to wait till our normal pick and the 28th pick in the second round. I'm saying maximize that commodity. If there's a guy there at
You'd
number three.
You'd be excellent at explaining moves.
Why?
Well, you're really not giving away anything. It's just extras that you worked the last 3 years to acquire.
But I want to acquire elite talent. I think this team needs elite talent still.
So you would be of trading those three picks to get into the top three.
For DeMarcus Ware?
I don't know who's
that. No, that's my point.
Yes.
For that guy.
For DeMarcus Ware, yes.
But I know that's a known quantity. You know.
But there is
no
known quantity
in Belichick.
The draft.
That he'll find me if he deems the guy worthy.
I would
go get him.
I would
he
trade
didn't go
those
get
three picks.
Dwayne Robertson when we all wanted him to, or he didn't go get Vernon Golston when we all wanted him to. So I give him the benefit of the doubt that he'll know when the right guy becomes available.
No, but I wouldn't want to trade those three picks to move up in the draft. I wouldn't mind trading those three picks for DeMarcus Ware or Larry Fitzgerald. You know, someone who I know is in the prime of his career and ridiculously productive.
If I get the right guy, I get the early part of his career, the prime of his career, and the late part of his career.
If you're right.
What is all that
why
noise?
Hearing,
you
why
have
am
no
hearing
fa- again,
a woman's
this
voice?
Gets back to do you have faith in the guy making your picks
it's not
or not?
It's in the queue in here.
There's something about
I have faith in Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
maybe I'm different from the rest of you people, but I have faith in Bill Belichick.
I just imagine that with those first three picks, all three of them might be productive.
I have less faith in him when he's down by, you know.
You think the chances are that you're going to pick three guys and they're all going to be productive?
17, 28, and 33.
And you think all three of those guys would be productive?
No, that's my my dream. I dream that would happen.
Of course,
that's the goal. And that's the goal.
When was the last time he picked in the top third of the draft?
So my question is, do you take the chance of that goal?
He has screwed up picks 20
I'm
and 30.
I'm talking to Paul.
Well, this is a radio show. We all get to talk.
You know,
not at the same time.
Andy Hartman.
Do you go after that dream of having, you know, your top three, you know, 17, 20, and 33 being productive, or do you dream and give them away and go for that guy and hope that he's, you know, an all pro?
When has he screwed up a pick in the top 10, 12?
Well, he doesn't have it. He only had
he's
one.
He's got a few, and he's hit them all.
But he doesn't really screw up picks in the first round.
Oh, he does. Lawrence Maroney, Brandon Merriweather, Benjamin Watson, all screw-ups. If you give me those three guys with those three picks at the cost of whatever player he deems good, then no, I don't want those guys. Those are fill-in complimentary pieces.
You know,
I want elite.
But, I mean, you just made it. When does he ever screw up? I mean, he had one top, a number six pick. He hit it.
No, but Ty Warren, he hit.
And what about in Cleveland? Eric Turner?
He had bad drafts.
Wasn't he?
Gerard Mayo, I'll say he hit.
Tommy Vizel.
Wasn't he a top five?
The guy in his third year is an all-pro Pro Bowler.
Richard Seymour. He was a first-round pick, yeah.
Right.
I mean, not his fault that it didn't work. I mean, he got sick.
So.
But
no, I was talking about Eric Turner.
Yeah, he's the guy who got cancer, right? Isn't that the safety that
he was
in his hotel with him and basically stayed with him? Right? I mean, I'm not blaming that on Bill.
I don't know that story. I don't think.
Eric Turner's the safety who got very sick.
He
was like the highest selected safety ever.
Yeah.
Third
and
pick,
he got sick.
That's what I thought. It was the third pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe he would have been the best safety who ever played the game if he had, stayed healthy. I can't blame that on evaluation.
No, I'm not blaming. I was wondering if you were considering Eric Turner in the picks that he made.
No, I was considering the
Tommy
Patriots.
Vardell.
Tommy Vardell would be a top 10 pick that didn't work.
Didn't work out.
No, that was Lombardi who made that pick for my purposes. It's kind of like I just said, Gerard Mayo was a hit. He's an all-pro Pro Bowl linebacker in the third.
I heard you. I let it go.
Mike in Rhode Island, we were talking about Belichick's offers comment on his phone call. He said, you guys aren't making any sense. Without a CBA in the end of the league year, teams can't trade players or even offer trades yet, and it makes very little sense that teams would be already calling, offering other draft picks to trade up or down, seeing as how I don't think I've ever seen picks traded for picks other than during the draft.
That's completely incorrect. The Patriots have done it.
Yeah.
And you can still trade draft picks even if there's no CBA.
You can't trade players for picks.
Can't trade players.
More often than not.
Well, he's saying that if it's not during the draft, they don't trade
picks.
That's
incorrect.
The
Patriots have done that.
No, but that's what he was
saying. Dwayne Robertson trade happened 3 or 4 days before the draft when the Jets traded a boatload to get up.
The Patriots made a draft pick trade with
Miami.
Miami, I want to say.
I believe.
To get a pick.
Because they needed
a pick in a round to give to somebody else.
They're not all that common because people have learned, why would I make a trade before I know how the draft is unfolding?
Right.
But we can agree to the trade today. I mean, the conversation isn't necessarily we're going to announce this today. It's would you trade 17 and 28 for 6 or whatever?
And even if you don't know how the draft unfolds, if you want more picks and you see a team that has those picks and you'd rather
begin the dialogue.
Yes.
Like Mike Ditka so smartly did when he walked
when
into
he won
the Senior
Bowl
and said,
I'll give all my draft for Williams.
I did laugh, by the way, on the whole Ditka thing when the release that the Patriots sent out for Bill Belichick winning Coach of the Year, and it had the whole paragraph about Bill being one of, like, four coaches who have multiple 14-plus win seasons.
Mike Ditka's on there. Too.
He's an idiot. He says stupid stuff on TV.
I love it when I'm not drawing the rap.
Sven is from Germany.
Sven.
Wait, Van or Sven?
Sven. S-V-E-N.
Wouldn't that be more Swedish?
I don't know.
He said he's from Germany. What are you questioning
the
guy
in
for?
Germany.
I mean,
that's what he said.
Tony doesn't live in America,
German.
And they can be Italian,
he
but they still
German.
Live here.
No. That's why I'm asking. Is he in Germany because he's from Germany and born in Germany, or is he in Germany because he's visiting?
So everybody in Germany has to have a German name?
Nein.
I mean, how jingoistic can you be?
I don't know what that
good.
Means. Fred. Very good.
What does that mean? And where did you read it?
extreme patriotism.
Roger Goodell's father read the dictionary cover to cover.
I've done that. I did that when I was a
no
kid.
No chance.
I did not make it through.
I've started it. I make it about three words in, and I close the book and walk away.
Because you're an idiot. But when I was a kid, I read the dictionary cover to cover.
No chance. You've skipped pages or something. There's no way
you read a dictionary cover to cover
as
a kid.
No, you didn't.
As a kid.
No.
Yes, I did.
I'm calling BS.
I don't believe it.
Another one.
I'm not saying that I remembered anything
I'm
I read.
I'm not saying you read every word and definition in the dictionary.
Did.
You didn't make it through it.
I absolutely
did. You skipped pages, you flipped around, you
went to
words you
thought
were
when I got to, like, the word cat, I would skip over it. Absolutely.
You didn't read the dictionary cover
only the
to cover.
Words that you didn't know.
Yeah.
No
that
chance.
I wasn't sure of.
No chance.
What?
Listen, I'm going to just tell you from experience, when you call Fred a liar, he gets very angry.
Yeah,
I'm saying he's misremembering.
Why would I say that? Why would I even offer that up?
You may not even know that you're misremembering it, but there's no chance
so
that you read it
cover. Just told him, you don't even know what you don't know.
You don't.
You know how you get to Fred's age, things, you remember them differently. You think you did it.
When you didn't do it.
There's no chance. How many words are in the dictionary? What's the number?
I don't know.
I'd say five.
Hundreds
yeah,
of thousands?
There's no chance you didn't at least skip pages or...
Well, he said he skipped over the words he didn't know, so it probably only took him a couple hours to get
through
it. He
skipped the words he did know, so he only skipped like three.
That's what I said. The words he did know, he skipped. So it only took you a couple hours to read the dictionary, right?
Right. Well, his joke is that I didn't know any words, so it would have taken me forever.
I know what he's saying.
He skipped I, cat...
exactly.
The word the, you wouldn't read. You just skip right over it.
The.
He's so full of it.
I mean, just because
I'm
Andy
with you,
has
Fred. I could see
such
you doing
a
it.
No, insular.
You're such a...
Insular.
Insular.
That's one of the words.
Now he's using
Scott
the dictionary.
Your head would be up his ass.
How appropriate is the fact
he's got
that
thesaurus.com
he read it struggles, too, from cover to cover.
He's got thesaurus.com up on the computer.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Like that.
So Sven, who is living in the wrong country... I know, God forbid he lives in Germany with a name like Sven.
I lift things up and put them down.
Right. Sven, are you going to go home? In your last show, Fred and Paul were talking about acquiring a high-quality wide receiver. Instead of getting Johnson/Ocho Cinco or Plaxico Burress, what about bringing Randy Moss back?
No.
Isn't he supposed to become a free agent?
Yes.
I mean, he knows the system, he loves the Patriots, and he probably wants to forget last season. No.
Forget about whether or not you would want to. Is there any chance that the Patriots would be interested in doing that?
I say no.
I don't think so, but not zero.
I think there's
a
chance.
I don't think that's zero.
Yeah, mine it's small.
I don't want it. I think we all agree we don't want it.
Less than 10%.
But I think, yeah, I mean, it might be that small. But I think there's a chance that they would entertain that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very small.
You have to do your due diligence to do what's best for the football team.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to happen, though. But no. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Brooklyn Matt says, Andy, I have a sandwich for you. Since you guys are talking about burgers and sandwiches today and the whole hot dog discussion on Tuesday, Andy, I have a sandwich especially for you. I start off with two slices of stale, moldy pumpernickel bread. Then inside, I load it up with a generous helping of horseradish, red hot peppers, and Tabasco sauce. Bon appetit, you big crab.
I did think
that's
of
the best you could come up with.
I thought of a joke that I may have stolen, like Fred often does, where he hears things and passes them off as something he made up himself. But have you ever heard anything along the lines of Eric? You're a former comedian, so I don't know how my joke writing is. I just came up with a new Roethlisberger.
He's taking shots at everybody.
There's laxative in it because it forces you into the bathroom afterwards.
Oh,
see, because it forced a girl into the bathroom
again with the two gender explanation over there.
Have you guys heard that joke before? Because I thought
driving.
I
haven't.
That's not a bad joke, huh?
Save
yourself
laugh.
The trouble.
I didn't laugh.
That's just because you're mad because I don't think you read the dictionary.
I could always eat your salad.
How old were you?
Oh, geez. I know I was in grade school, so maybe like the fifth, sixth grade.
And was it like one of those little dictionaries that kids have that there says
no,
A is for apple
wasn't like the big
and acorn
kind that you put in your living room? Oh,
wasn't the unabridged?
So it's like my son who has a book that has all the A words
like,
and there's five
like,
words
you know,
on a page.
Merriam or Webster's or one of those
normal size.
Merriam
not
Webster.
Merriam Webster's though. It was either Merriam or Webster.
You know, whatever.
They hadn't merged at that point.
You know, it wasn't one of those.
Well, it was a long time ago, Andy. They were just dating then. Now that's funny.
He's really mad that
he
I
didn't laugh.
Him. He's really mad.
I like when he did the big shift in the chair, though, because
he's
beside himself.
He is.
Firmly planting himself, anchoring himself down for the argument. That's all he's doing.
What was your favorite word there?
Right.
What's that?
What was your favorite word that you learned through the process?
I can't remember.
Oh, good follow-up.
You know, I'm just trying to, when you're going to lie,
because you would think if
facts.
You were going
to
read that many words, that one would stand out.
You know, really, there was a lot of good words and
White Sox. Hold on now.
My teleprompter's broken.
You read the dictionary, and he's a big fan of the White Sox.
Fred is not happy.
You're a big fan of White Sox, too, aren't you?
This is the
They're not white when I'm done with them.
What color would they be? I don't know what the hell's going on in your mind.
Oh, shit.
It's a little off-yellow when it dries.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
The same problem he has on the backside he has on the front side.
This is why we need cameras in the studio, by the way.
There are cameras in the studio.
To get these shots of Fred just being totally disgusted with
it. Are you legitimately mad that I don't believe you?
No, I could care less. Okay.
Oh!
Because there's one on Fred and there's one on Andy right now.
I just want to get to the next email.
Okay, I can tell. I don't care.
A lot of emails.
I don't know why it seems so like incredible to you that I did that. Because you could never imagine yourself doing it, so no one else could.
I could never imagine a normal human being doing it.
Me either.
I don't think
I consider you pretty normal. No, I think you're pretty normal.
Well, that's a good
point. I think you're not a closet, like, geek who would spend a summer just with his nose in the dictionary. I give you too much credit for that.
Oh, here's where he tries.
Eric,
tries
I think, once read
out.
The dictionary cover to cover.
Did you? Because
I've never read
Wearing
the dictionary. I've read the Bible
Smoking
cover to cover.
I've never started that one, too. The seventh day
I did that twice.
I don't think I could get out of the
well
AA
done.
Words in the dictionary before I lost interest. And how many of those are there?
Aardvark? Aaron?
He's really mad. He couldn't care less, but he keeps
giving me I don't know why you just find it so incredible.
It's actually
did you do it over the summer?
It is incredible.
Oh, yeah. I remember saying if I do a certain amount of letters over a certain amount of time, I'll get done.
I can do the whole thing?
Yeah. I had it all.
Have you ever counted to 1 million?
No.
You walked by Fred's office
about
one
pi
day.
To the 10 millionth digit. Yeah.
No, I just thought it would be a neat thing to do, and it might help me.
Have you ever tried the Bible? Reading the Bible?
Oh, I've read the Bible.
Cover to cover?
I don't
the
know
Bible, not Star Wars.
Yeah, did you do that, or did
Eric,
you watch Star Wars?
Yes. Eric, you read
it? I'm not sure really? If I read the Bible cover to cover, but I've read most of it, for sure.
How long did it take you, Eric? Do you remember?
Yeah, I did like Fred. I would do like a couple pages a night.
On your own or in a guided?
No, on my own sense. I was during college, actually.
Guide me. Well, I'd like to read it.
Aaron, Eric's a spiritual guy, though.
He is.
I'm not surprised by that at all, that you read that.
Do they have Bible classes where you just read the Bible?
They read passages.
No, I don't want that. I want to read the Bible. I want to start at page one and go through it and have somebody guide me through the Bible.
You never had like, well, you didn't grow up Catholic. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's like you never went to like CCD.
No. You didn't?
I never had to go to CCD because I went to Catholic.
Oh, really?
But I never read the Bible.
I
never read the Bible.
But I would need somebody to guide me.
I've read pieces of it, yeah. In CCD, we never had to read it. Like
you would actually like.
We would read passages.
You would actually like the.
Oh, there's a lot of dirty parts that I've skimmed.
The Song of Solomon.
Oh, jeez.
I have.
No, there's a book in there called The Song of Solomon, which is all about
doing it.
Yeah.
It's like the Karma Sutra of the Bible.
Honest to God, that's one of the books in the Bible. It's called The Song of Solomon.
You should look that up. I bet your churches have off of that at night. Some extension class.
What? Some racy Bible passages?
No, where you can sign up.
You
today's
to go
gospel
meet Catholic
is from the book of Jake Reed.
Read the Bible.
Not
Jake Steele.
Jake Steele.
Jake Reed. Jake Reed.
Why do we see him for the mic?
He's a spiritual brother. You never know.
Spiritual brother. You know? He was with Bethel Johnson and Billy Yates.
Temple Bethel Johnson.
Wow.
Bethel played for the Vikings
and
for a short time.
And I can't believe the ratings are going down.
Let's see
what people love. 0.0.
Matt Cox writes in. What's his name?
Matty Oregon.
Hello, gentlemen, and Fred, Paul, Andy, and Kevin. I had an idea
Matt.
That may help a little
is
bit with
Matt
the whole
Morgan?
Crowd
Morgan.
Noise
is
issue.
Matt, his name is Cox?
All right, we can't all talk at once.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Then Fred's why the ratings
talking.
Are going
when
down.
Someone's talking, you have to
I
shut
didn't,
up.
I didn't
like
know.
You just did right there.
I didn't know that,
Matt. Cox is pretty big
Cox
around,
Cox was
right?
his name.
Our show
now
should
you
make
know.
Cox bigger.
Now I will
and knowing is half the
battle.
Because
usually you announce him as CBS Matt Morgan.
Cares.
Right.
So
you're a Cox subscriber.
I thought that was a good time to drop
you're a Cox subscriber.
His last name to get the effect that I actually
I,
got.
I like to
our
know
show
who's
should
coming.
Make Cox bigger.
For our many listeners who are regulars, I like to know it's them. I don't want to just attribute these comments to any Matt.
You've known him for years, though, so you should know that that's what his
I always
was.
Thought it was Matt
Cox
Oregon.
Is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
His last name was from Oregon?
Was it apostrophe?
No, that's how he... has been represented on the show.
That's who he is on the
He's
show.
Not Matt
but I
Cox.
Thought it was a good time to say what I said. Our show should make Cox bigger.
Are Ty, Cox big in Oregon, too?
Ty Ming is everything, Fred.
That's right. I had an idea that may help a little bit with the whole crowd noise issue. I agree with Andy that Pat Patriot could be used more, but I also think the end zone militia could be used more. That's something unique to New England that should be played up. For example, after a score, Pat Patriot could lead the crowd in yelling, "Ready, aim, fire," before they fire their muskets. The crowd noise after a score problem isn't a huge part of the problem, but it would still get the whole crowd more together and involved, which could lead to more organic stuff. A couple of other thoughts.
Fluid situation.
Live bullets.
What?
Eric has an idea for ice bullets. Because they melt after you shoot somebody, so there's no bullet in their left.
I saw it on a mystery show once, like a TV mystery thing, and the perpetrator used ice, like he got a casing for a bullet, put it in cold water, iced it up, and used ice bullets, and was killing his victims.
Well, or you stab him with an icicle.
I stab him with an icicle, and then
it's gone. No evidence.
Right. No fingerprints, nothing.
Right. Shit. A couple other quick thoughts. Was there ever a fine issue for the helmet-to-helmet hit against Welker? I forget who hit him, but I think that was one as blatant as the Merriweather hit earlier in the year.
It was
when
Eric
pieces
Smith.
Of a helmet go flying, I think you have to call that.
I'm pretty sure that was Eric Smith.
It was Eric Smith.
Yeah. It was Eric Smith's helmet that broke, and I don't remember seeing him get fined for that.
I don't believe so.
I thought it should have been a fine. I don't think it was anywhere near the caliber of Merriweather's hit.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was
Or James Harrison's.
One of the Jets kind of do that to Wes's helmet too? Like, didn't
that's
some
just,
stuff
that's what we were about. Just talking about.
My bad.
Did a Fred.
I'll
just did a Fred.
It's good.
Well, never mind.
Keep digging. Go ahead.
He's been here since 4.
Second thing is, how soon until we get rid of Merriweather? Having him on the field is like giving the other team an extra player. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's got to go.
I just thought of a really bad thing.
And keep up the great work, despite what that emailer said last week. It's still a great time to be a Patriots fan.
Of course it is. You could be on the verge of the second dynasty. I mean, you could. If they hit on this draft with 3 picks in the top 33, and
I
if these young...
I just love when he throws those in there. He's so cute. He just throws those in there out of nowhere.
Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, Brady. You have plenty of talent. You won 14 games. You have 3 picks in the top 33. You have money to spend.
We all agree the foundation is very, very
solid. So whether it's
right
a continuation
now.
Of the closed door Scalavino dynasty or a new dynasty, this could be a great time.
I would go with that. I would go that it, this
has there ever been
this is going to be a new one.
Any teams that have had back-to-back dynasties?
Well, you could argue San Francisco.
You could,
How did that work? What were the
years? A lot of different teams. I mean, 81 to 94.
Mm. And Montana was through 89? 8?
Yeah.
And 90, Young was 90. Through 96.
Montana's last big game with the Niners was the 90 NFC Championship when they were going for the three-peat. Mm. And Roger Craig fumbled.
So, Derek from the University of Arizona says, Andy, I could not agree more.
Of course.
We need a running back. I would take a guy in the first round, but I'm not sure there is a guy this year. DeMarco Murray is someone I love in the late second, early third.
I concur.
Reminds me of a fast Ahmad Bradshaw. He's so fast and does not go down. He's versatile and explosive, a real playmaker.
He's a perfect Patriot because he basically was a slot receiver for them at times this year.
Very versatile guy. We like him.
He would be ideal for the way the Patriots move people around.
We brought up Ronnie Brown earlier. The emailer wrote in, and we all agreed that we'd be interested in him.
Sure.
Would that be enough? I mean, let's just say that he was healthy. Would that be enough to satisfy your running back craving? You said he could run for 1,300 yards easily.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect it, though.
I would
still
expect
think
him to get hurt.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect it.
It'd be Fred Taylor-like. I would expect good things in spurts and a long stretch of injury.
My craving would either be for a guy that
Brown.
He's very talented. Well, no, I think they're very similar. Yeah. Very elite talents who just don't think you can count on putting together a 16-game season and giving you 300-and-something carries. You might be able to get him to 1,600, but to me, to get him there, you might have to manage him. You might have to kind of be careful with what you do with him. Whereas I'm thinking... The two ways to get the guy I'm talking about are you just draft a guy, you know, the 15th pick in the draft, you take the next, whatever, or the Lamont Jordan route, where you see a guy who's gotten a couple spurts as a backup somewhere, and you go, you know
Michael
what?
Michael Turner.
Yeah, Michael Turner.
That's a good one.
He can be my guy. And Lamont Jordan wasn't. He was just And Michael Turner is. He turned into their guy down there. So, I don't know off the top of my head. I haven't really thought of names that would fulfill that.
Michael
in
Bush, I've heard.
Yeah, it's too long.
Yeah.
He's not young
enough. Well, I've heard that's the sort of back that they've been throwing names at.
I'm trying to think of a guy. I mean, a guy. This has to be like a fourth-year guy, basically, who has been stuck behind somebody. Trying to think of a name.
What about the kid from the Jaguars, Jennings, that ran real well when Maurice Jones?
Rashard Jennings out of Liberty? I believe I like
him. Yeah, when Maurice Jones-Drew was banged up this year, he ran real
well.
What about?
That's actually a good one. He has been productive in short playing
time. What about Brandon Jackson? He's a free agent.
Third down back.
Yeah, I don't think he's the reason they couldn't run this year.
Yeah, he's a third down back.
James
Starks. Not a bad one.
Now, James Starks, if Ryan Grant comes back, I'd be interested in.
How about Ryan Grant? Because I think they're going to like James Starks.
Oh, I do too.
Rick from the Netherlands writes in, loving the show.
Rick,
I live around the Patriots.
Rick, sure he's Dutch? Netherlands.
Not from Ireland?
Right.
He likes tulips.
Funny enough, I adjust my whole year on the Patriots games and et cetera, meaning sleeping over day and awake at night. Have you guys thought about the fact that the Patriots have a team that will develop every year, and so there'll be a team winning at least two Super Bowls in the next 5 years, in my opinion. The only thing keeping me thinking is how long has Brady left? My opinion about 2010 regular season is we did good. And seeing the young players who
did real good there.
The coming years will be Super Bowl years, I hope. By the way, next Super Bowl we win, I'm having a tattoo on my back. Hopefully next year. My pick this Super Bowl is the Packers. So speaking of picks... because it ended with picks. We need to do ours.
Yeah. Gotta hurry.
What's the number?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Packers by two and a half. So why don't we start out? What's the over under? Do we have an over under?
I didn't bring it down.
Kev?
Sorry.
Anything?
Would you go with a high number or a low number for this game?
Reasonably high.
High.
45.
Yeah. Which is funny because two pretty
good defenses.
45.
Top two scoring defenses in football.
What do you think?
45.
Am I making my pick now?
No.
45 for Super Bowl?
45?
If the number was 45, I would take the over.
I think I would
too.
Beats good defense.
I think I would too.
Does it?
I think.
I thought the Patriots had a good offense.
I think the Packers will score 30.
Not that day, they didn't.
Didn't they have a good offense last year too? They didn't beat that day either. Didn't they in 2007?
Fred's disgusted with Andy again.
What's your pick?
Green Bay by 2.5 is the line.
Yeah,
right
we
now.
Got that.
All right,
over under.
Well, you said to go get the line.
Over under.
He wanted the over under.
Over under. We said
playing that Belichick clip really threw him off.
I told you.
He had to do something.
You asked way too much of him.
I think the Green Bay Packers are going to save all the New England fans the worry of Ben Roethlisberger getting his third. I think the Packers are a very good defense. And I think part of the key to it is they don't not only have the edge rusher in Matthews, they have B.J. Raji. To get a big body up the middle and get in Roethlisberger's face, maybe bring him down, and also stop the run a little bit. I don't think Mendenhall's going to have a great day because I think Raji is one of the keys to this game. And I think Aaron Rodgers, I think he'll make enough plays. Big key for him is just get protected. If he doesn't get beat up, I think the Packers win. As long as they keep James Harrison from going psycho, Packers win.
Two of the best defensive coordinators going head-to-head in this game.
Dom and Dick.
Capers and LeBeau. According to Kevin, 44 is the number. So
Fofo,
the over under number.
Ovo.
Wasn't a bad pick.
And I'll take the over on that too. It is kind of ironic that we're talking about two good defenses, but their offenses I think are going to be able to put some points up against each other. I think Green Bay will score more points. I think they'll get in the 30 range. Pittsburgh will make it close, keep it in the low to mid 20s, but I think Aaron Rodgers and his so-called inexperienced in the Super Bowl Packers are going to. Are going to have themselves a good day. And
just say James Starks, because I forgot to.
And James Starks might get a few carries and make a difference, and Packers will win.
I agree with Andy's point about... what was the point you made?
he's not laughing.
I don't know why he's not laughing. I'm just joking.
Can we do another hour? Because I get a couple issues I forgot to bring
up.
You
got a power hour? You want to throw it together?
You could do AK-47. AK-47.
Should I just bring up a quick issue?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, real quick.
But have you noticed?
Because I remembered finally the point that I agree with you on.
The ESPN scroll, it's Super Bowl, Packers, Steelers. Mm-hmm. Scrolling through, and then it says Pro Football Championship, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, plus 2.5, 44. Like, who are they fooling? You're not allowed to put the NFL, the Super Bowl.
Plus, they should be
the
allowed.
Name. No, well, it's gambling. It's when they transition to there's a point spread and there's an over-under in this game, it becomes the Pro Football Championship,
and
it only uses city names, not logo mascot
team
names.
That's stupid.
Who are you fooling?
It's stupid.
Okay, maybe the NFL has a rule, but it's stupid. It's archaic. Everybody knows what you're talking about. You're doing it. Either you can't do it, don't allow them to put the spread up with the game, or don't play the stupid game with the changing of the lingo. It's
one
stupid.
One of those blue laws.
Well, it's probably the league wanted them to not do it. They said, no, you can't stop us. They, well, then we can stop you associating it's it with just, our brand, with it, our logo.
But, yeah, exactly.
But even the league likes gambling. Everybody likes gambling.
It's the number one reason why the league's so popular.
That's stupid. Go. What was your point? It was mine, actually.
The number one, probably most important element, I think, to me is what you said about the pass protection. Green Bay allows Rodgers a reasonable amount of time to throw, and Woodley and Harrison don't disrupt the game, I don't see Pittsburgh's secondary being able to handle Green Bay's offense. I think Green Bay will win the game. I don't think it'll be easy because I think Roethlisberger will make some plays in this game, too. I don't see your boy James Starks, however, having if he averages more than 2 yards a carry, I'd be surprised.
One game wonder.
I don't think that, but I think it's a tough team.
He's going
to run
against a defense that allows like 52
yards a game. I don't see that him having a big game.
I didn't read the dictionary.
I like Rodgers in this game as long as he's able to have some time. And I think Roethlisberger is going to have a hard time
because of the vulnerability of their O line.
Well, yeah, I think that their offensive line stinks, even
so
with Bronco Lagurski.
Marquise Pouncey. He's going to play. He's not going to play. He's in a cast. He's not in a cast. He's going to practice this week. He's not going to practice. He's at 70%. Who cares? Go away. You're a center. You're not Terrell Owens. You're not the story of Super Bowl week.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that the guy made a bad snap last week, and everybody, for that reason, everybody's making a big deal. Did you notice anything else all the other plays he was in the game? Did you notice a difference? No.
I don't know. I felt like Fred there. I didn't know the answer, Fred.
Yes or no. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just not that big a deal. It's really not. As long as the guy can execute a snap. But anyway, I like Green Bay.
If B.J. Raji's bitch slapping him every play, he's in the backfield.
I know, but I think he'd be bitch slapping Pouncey, too.
Ooh, an all-pro center?
Yeah.
All right.
I think that Green Bay wins 27-21.
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay, too. I think somebody tweeted out a score yesterday, 34-24, and I remember saying,
that's
about
right.
That could be it. So I'll go with that, 34-24 Packers.
30-24.
If they can get the
34-24.
If the
I know, I'm going 30-24.
Nobody asked you.
Don't speak until you're spoken to.
If the points go down a little bit.
You got a feeling? I just got a feeling.
You're picking with all of us, though.
If the game goes under, I think that the Steelers will win.
Okay.
I would agree.
I don't think it'll go under, though. I think
an astute
observation. Maybe we'll find out find a way to at least get to 27.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's a very even game.
Yeah. I think you can make a case for either team. I just think the more well-rounded team is the Green Bay Packers, and I think that Aaron Rodgers will be able to hold up under the pressure and of the Super Bowl. He's a cool customer. Even though I give the experience edge to Pittsburgh, obviously. I like the Packers in this game. So
late breaking news, the Patriots won the Madden All Protectors Team Award or something. It's a 102-pound trophy that Dan Cope and Dan Conley and Mark LaVore collected.
LaVore.
For protecting Brady, I guess.
No, they're wallets. Yes.
I mean, what? I've never heard of this award.
Why is LaVore accepting it?
I can click on it if you want to talk. For
no, that's all right. We got to get going. So have a good Super Bowl weekend, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Andy and Tom left for the combine. They begged Paul to host the show.
Do it! Do it!
I guess peer pressure paid off.
I'm gonna!
Patriots.com Radio. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.